is on. The three best friends you never knew you had, running through the most viral stories of the day. The news junkie Sean Wasson with Sabrina and Celine.
It's the news junkie for a Thursday, March 21st, 2019. Lots to get to today, from Trump keeps attacking dead people to a secret website live streaming your hotel room and 104-year-old woman's insane final wish, plus your calls, dispatches, emails, texts, and more. Hey there, Sabrina.
Hello.
Hello, C-Lane.
Christopher.
C-Lane. Good morning.
Oh, okay, I thought you died for a second.
Same.
No, didn't want that to happen today.
I thought everything was just falling apart here.
What happened over there? You got buttons that aren't pressed?
I'm good.
Something is broken over there.
No, it's fixed now.
You know, we got a lot to get into, of course, as per usual. We'll get to your dispatches here on a Thursday. Let's see more of these first timers. It's been a good week for that. A lot of people sending in dispatches through the News Junkie app who have never done it before, and I absolutely love to see those. Ladies, gentlemen, whoever's out there, send those in.
Grandmas and babies.
Oh, yeah. Well, the babies are probably amongst the most popular dispatches when set in. Grandmas will take grandpas, great-great-grandpas.
Yeah.
You got, if you're a great-great-grandpa, well, your dispatch goes right to the front of the line, just like that. On the way home yesterday, I stopped at a 7-Eleven, and I'm looking around in there, and I always find this so bizarre and funny, just a weird piece of humanity. You look up and you see the Powerball jackpot at the time was, I think, $550 million. That every time I look at that, I'm so amazed. Like, not just because of the amount of money that the Powerball is putting up, but at our lack of interest unless it gets to a certain amount, you know? Like, we don't line up around the block and try to get all the tickets we possibly can and put together extra money to buy them. We're like, only $550 million this week.
Ugh, no, thank you.
It's not nearly enough. It's like we need it to be a billion, which is bananas to consider, but no winners as of last night. So it goes up even further. Now it's at $625 million, and we'll see if anybody gets interested in that. I mean, I really think now we're at this point where the only time it makes news and gets that viral chatter going on and gets everybody talking on social media and all the different internet platforms,
Facebook,
out there,
Instagram,
is
Twitter, y'all,
when it breaks a new record. It's like a brand new record for the Powerball or the Mega Ball or
and
whatever.
Now everyone who's never played before is going to play, and your chances are even that much slimmer.
Yeah, you should really be playing now. Play when it's not getting all the attention. $625 million. People just scoff at it. I'm not playing that.
I can't spend that.
As I heard a guy the other day in the same exact 7-Eleven who was getting the scratch-off tickets, and he's like, I'll take that one and that one. And the lady goes, this one? And she holds up a ticket. And he goes, no, that one's only $100,000 if you want.
Like, nothing.
Only you people aren't impressed by money anymore. You need so much more to be intrigued to play the lottery. I don't play it at all. I mean, I'm one of these people who does this. I play when it goes bananas, when there's all the excitement and all the viral stuff surrounding it.
No, I play intermittently. Just
do you
randomly.
Really?
Scratch offs though, right? Not the Powerball?
Both.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I didn't know you played the regular.
A gambler
lottery.
On our hands.
More secret gambler, C-Lane?
More just like scratch offs just on a whim. And then every once in a while I'll get like a quick pick or something.
Didn't you do pretty good the other day?
I know, yeah. I was victorious. The last time I played a scratch off, I went to the counter at Publix and I was like, yeah, we'll get the $5 whatchamacallit.
Oh, the big time one.
And $100?
That's not bad at all.
Yeah.
C-Lane does the extra work too. I mean, I think he's talked about that on the show before, where he goes and sees when the last payout was for what particular lotteries playing.
Well, for the ones that I was really into, that was the ones that just pay you for life or something like that. I wanted that sounded good.
That's
just
your dream.
Just pay me to whatever, what was it, like $1,000 a week or something?
Uh-huh.
I was like, yeah, that seems like a good time. I'll get that. They don't actually give it to you every week. They just give you like once a year.
Yeah.
And I was like, but that would be awesome. So I'm going to play this. And then I got online and I was like, some of the gas stations are running out of these. Maybe the game is almost over. There could possibly be a bunch of these that have been claimed. And you can look on the Florida Lotto website in the scratch-off section, and it'll tell you which of the grand prizes are.
All right, if you're playing for no reason, just dreaming, spending the money, and then there's no reason to do it.
No.
Well, we're all talking, I guess, about President Trump going after John McCain. Very confusing as to why, considering, as of last check, John McCain is dead. And I mean, not sure why he's a target of anybody.
I hate to use the term because it's very, very disrespectful, but he's literally beating the horse.
If you haven't heard the comments, let me play that to roll this out so people understand what's going on. Here's what President Trump said.
I endorsed him at his request, and I gave him the kind of funeral that he wanted, which as president, I had to approve. I don't care about this. I didn't get thank you. That's okay.
Well, you didn't get, that's a weird...
He didn't thank me. My God.
He just stands up vertical out of the casket. Wanted to say thank you to President Trump. And then right back down dead again. Maybe he met the family. I don't know what the hell he's talking about. I don't know why President Trump is so fixated on John McCain.
Because John McCain can't say anything back.
He can't respond now. A bunch of other people are, and certainly his daughter has been very vocal in his defense. But just, it's a stupid thing. And he knows when he's saying things like this that it doesn't help him. In fact, the lowest he ever hit in his approval was in sort of the higher end of the 30s, 37 or so, I think. And that was the last time he attacked John McCain. And so he just does it again.
I endorsed him at his request.
He didn't even thank me.
I gave him the kind of funeral that he wanted, which as president, I had to approve. I don't care about this. I didn't get thank you. That's okay. We sent him on the way, but I wasn't a fan of John McCain. So now what we could say is,
good God,
now
man,
we're all set. I don't think I have to answer that question, but the press keeps, what do you think of McCain? What do you think? Not my kind of guy, but some people him, and I think that's
I don't
He's not alive anymore.
One of the last times that he was talking about John McCain when he was still alive was when he said something along the lines of, I like people who didn't get captured. This is something like that he does that. It does not help him out. Republicans aren't fans of this for the most part. His core base generally dips while he's doing it, but he just can't help himself.
Also, he approved the funeral. He didn't give him the funeral.
Right.
I don't even think he attended the funeral.
Yeah, does anybody in the world think he sat down at a desk like he's a wedding planner, you know, like funeral planner, President
Trump?
Make sure
Trump. We get the flowers.
Like, he's like, let's do this. Let's get
bearers.
What kind of backdrop do you want? Oh, let's get this color.
But is a president can deny a funeral? Like, if he didn't approve it, it wouldn't have happened?
I think you can deny, if you're the president, I do not know for sure, but I believe you might be able to deny the moments where they lie in state in the Capitol, like in the rotunda and stuff, because that's more of a political thing that they do. You could probably stop that from happening, but I don't think you should really pat yourself on the back afterwards. These folks right here.
Oh, Maroon 5.
Man, it says something that nobody knows the Maroon 5 song.
I just need to
right
hear
that. If I played She Will Be Loved, C-Lane would have start fist pumping and known it right away.
I'm singing into my head right
Mine
now.
Mine is Harder to Breathe.
That one? Yeah, that was one of the... That's an early Maroon 5 song, right?
Yeah, you know I saw them in concert.
Did you?
Yeah, my mother is obsessed.
Is she
with
Maroon 5?
At least at the time. And she's like, we are going. Let's get the kids together. I want to see Adam's nipples.
Is she done now? Is she off the Maroon 5 bandwagon?
You know, I haven't talked to her about that
it
recently.
Hasn't come up? No.
I'll double check.
They do this every single year, but obviously Maroon 5 was the performer for the Super Bowl. We all remember that. And every single year, somebody files a request to the FCC, and the FCC releases all the complaints that they got about the Super Bowl performance. They got, and I don't understand these people. I don't know why this happened. 55 people complained about this.
Oh, yeah. I'm holding 17 pages just of the screenshots that Jezebel grabbed.
55 people took time out of their day to stop and send a complaint about nipples during a Super Bowl performance. That is really, really strange to me. I don't know if these people just don't have enough going on in their lives or whatever. We'll save this. Let's save the actual complaints themselves for the next episode if you were going to do that in a bit.
Well, I mean, there are a lot.
Yeah.
So if you want to do half of them, I still have plenty of time to do the other ones.
I just think it's bizarre that people send these over in the first place. Like, I would never do... But that's not in my my personality. I just don't do that stuff to begin with. Every once in a while, Courtney will have a bad experience. My girlfriend will go somewhere and have a bad experience at a store or like a restaurant. And if it's really, really bad, she'll be hyped up to the point where she goes and leaves a review, which a lot of people do. And she's not overly bombastic or mean or anything like that. She just leaves an honest review like, hey, I didn't think this was as good as it could have been, blah, blah, blah. And I would never even do that. When she's doing it, I'm like, oh, God, she's writing another complaint right now.
I'll do that for customer service.
Yeah, that's what she does. I mean, if something was really bad, she puts it out there. And like she had this experience at Publix where they were super mean and they did a bunch of stuff. And it was inappropriate. And then she wrote a complaint. And I'm going, oh, God, you know, she's in the right to do that. But even on that level, I wouldn't do it. And when I see somebody writing about Adam Levine's nipples during the Super Bowl performance, I just wonder about your life.
Well, I love that the moment his nipples were exposed, they stopped watching the Super Bowl and they started writing their complaint.
Yeah, enough is enough.
Like the vein is popping out of their forehead. Like, I don't even know where to start with this FCC.
I'm powering off the TV. I can't watch any more of this nonsense.
Some of these are really good, though. The wording, fantastic.
Well, we'll hear from these folks. Maybe we'll try to dissect who that individual is that would send that in the next episode, because the FCC complaints from the halftime performance have now started to roll in. When we come back, so much stuff on deck today. A complete meltdown on social media over somebody's voice and whether or not they're faking their voice. We'll check out the audio and we'll check out your dispatches from the News Junkie app. All coming up next. Don't go anywhere. Big show today. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
The kind of crew who types the word functioning in bold, italic, and underline. This is the News Junkie.
We'll get to your dispatches from the News Junkie app in just a moment. Man, when I see some of the news coming out of the UK, It makes me shake my head. There's so much weird stuff going on there. See, like, did you know in the UK, if you want to buy a knife, there's like a whole process you have to go through?
Yeah.
They've gone like so far because they have this string of knife attacks that's happened throughout Europe and seems to be getting worse. And so after they did a big crackdown on guns, now you have to like sign up. If you wanted to go to like a Crate and Barrel and buy a set of knives, you have to like put your information down like you're purchasing drugs or a gun or
really?
Something.
Even kitchen knives?
Yeah. If they're above a certain length, like if it's a real small knife, no big deal, but if it's a blade above a certain length, you have to give them a whole bunch of information about who you are, and it's a whole, kids can't buy them, and you know, on and on and on, all these different laws that they have. And now, I saw this story, and I swear to God, I thought it was fake. At first, I said, there's no way that's real, but there were a bunch of stories that came out afterwards that validates the claims made by a bunch of people here. And it's a journalist who was involved in this. And I think this is important for a couple of reasons, but it's sort of where we were starting to head. I think there's a bit of a turn back going on, but we were starting to head there in the United States. And the UK just took a full turn in that direction, if these stories are any larger indication of what's going on. BBC says, a journalist claims she's being investigated by police for using the wrong pronoun for a transgender woman. Caroline Farrow said Surrey police wanted to conduct a taped interview under caution because of tweets that she posted back in October. I guess there was some segment on Good Morning Britain, which I think is the Piers Morgan show over there in the UK, and there was somebody on with her called Susie Green, and Susie Green has a daughter, Jackie, that is transgender. After the interview, the contentious interview back and forth, they then took it to Twitter, and they were fighting. One of them, this woman, or this journalist, Carolyn Farrow, posted the wrong gender for this transgender person, and it resulted in a police investigation.
Why?
Where they were talking about whether or not this was harassment and a bunch of other things that they were investigating. They launched this investigation, tried to do a taped interview. They still want to do this, The woman said, look, this is part of my religious beliefs. And I, even though I try really hard not to misgender people, this is the woman talking who they want to question about this now. I will go to jail over this. And you look at that kind of stuff and you go, first of all, this is impossible. This is impossible. You can't chase down everything like this on Twitter without just completely abusing the time of investigators and police officers. It is a waste of time. I've always looked at this from the same place. Try to be nice to people. Be a decent human being. If you could see that somebody's presenting as a different gender, like, why would you be a dick about it, you know? Try to be a decent human being and go along with what's happening. But when you get to that moment where if you screw that up, and what's funny is the report on this, in the report they do things that you could probably say were exactly the same as the tweets that led to it. So it leads to this minefield of problems. And hold on, let's get some more details out of this so we can figure out exactly what's happening here.
Hi, I'm standing here this morning outside of police headquarters because one of our guests on the show later on Twitter, who has a boy who was a son who was born a boy, then transitioned
from ITV.
To a girl. They were referred to the wrong pronoun as a he or a boy. That was the debate on Twitter. As a result of that, Susie Green said that she found this actually distressing and spiteful, made a complaint to Surrey Police, who now tell us that they are actually investigating as a hate crime. Hate crime
a
have
hate
a maximum
crime.
Prison sentence of anything up to 2 years.
They're investigating as a possible hate crime with a sentence of up to 2 years because somebody called a transgender person by the wrong pronoun on Twitter. That's just
two
ridiculous.
2 years is intense.
She'll never get it, but the idea that it's even in the debate is wildly insane to me. This is something that shouldn't be investigated. They don't even look into the person's being a dick. Block them, right? Like, you know, block that person. Don't interact with them. Spend your time interacting with people who you think are decent to you. And making this stuff a crime, which is exactly where a lot of this is headed, clearly in the UK, that somebody would be tossed behind bars for is way overboard, I think.
Yeah, and I agree as well. I think maybe they want to use this as an example. But at the same time, it's also been pointed out the tweet that she had sent out. It wasn't that she just said he. It was an entire... Less
do you have
than
the whole
140
tweet?
Characters. It says what she did. This was October 4th last year.
All right, these are the tweets in question that they that led them to investigate her for a hate crime.
What she did to her own son is illegal. She mutilated him by having him castrated and rendered sterile while he was still a child. She also accused Green of child abuse. Farrow said, I've pointed out to police that I am a Catholic journalist commentator and it is my religious belief that a person cannot change sex. She added that she would happily do jail time for her right to say that people cannot change sex.
Yeah, there's nothing in that tweet that would be even the slightest bit actionable or...
Accusing someone of child abuse, I think, would.
I don't think so, because she could say that her argument is that if you take your child and allow them to have gender reconstructive surgery, you view that as a form of abuse on somebody. In fact, in the U.S., this comes up a lot. With the circumcision stuff, people who are anti-circumcision will say that somebody who has circumcised their child has abused their child. And that's part of their argument against this stuff, that the child had no say in this whole thing.
And I understand that, but you can't use your religion as an excuse to say whatever you want and then just say it's my religion. I mean, could it be my religion that I find what she's saying abusive?
The problem is the intersection of this stuff in law. That's the problem. The problem is
And is British law, too, which...
They don't even have freedom of speech. I mean, it's a whole different set over there. The U.S. Constitution provides us, through the Bill of Rights, the ability to do and say stuff like this.
We're here. America!
So far, we haven't gone to those lengths in the United States. But there are people who want that to happen. There are people who want it to be... against the law to dead name transgender people or to, you know, misgender them in conversations like this. Like I always said, it's about just being a decent person. And I always strive to do that, at least in conversation. And I wouldn't purposely antagonize somebody. But if somebody did, that should not be a reason that you would seek a hate crime against them or that they would spend any time in jail, because that is just nutso and impossible to enforce. Maybe they mentioned something else here. I think I have a little bit of the clip where they originally fought before the Twitter spat.
This is at the time, of course, when we've been talking about it a lot on the program, with rising knife crime around the country, and also violence is soaring in the UK as well. Should the police be prioritizing crimes like this?
We're conflating.
No, we're not.
We're
sexual predator.
It's a row that was first sparked in our studios.
Oh, wow.
Caroline Farrow, a Catholic with conservative views, appeared alongside transgender activist Susie Green, whose daughter Jackie was born a boy. When the cameras stopped rolling, though, the debate soon spilled onto Twitter.
I know this from my own experience.
Yeah, that's fine, right? But trans girls are girls.
Caroline Farrow allegedly used the wrong pronoun to describe Jackie Green, referring to her perhaps as a boy, and that, she's been told, is a possible hate crime, and now Surrey Police are carrying out an investigation.
You know, at that point, you have completely watered down the word hate crime. You know, if you believe that we should have hate crimes, you should believe in a structure behind it. You should believe that hate crimes are meant for somebody who has suffered severe harassment or actual real assault and battery on their person because of who they are. Because of some protected class under law, they've been abused or harmed. This kind of stuff muddies the debate, and it makes it look silly. It really does. And I think it does not help out anybody involved. Then they said that the person, this mother, Susie Green, said, oh, I dropped the charges. The police were like, no, she didn't drop the charges, and we can't stop doing what we're doing and stop investigating this hate crime until that happens. Before we get to this whole voice debate, this is a weird one, we'll go to some dispatches from the News Junkie app. Here is Booty Juice with, I don't even know what to make of that, Booty Juice with a dispatch.
Okay, I was probably going to be one of those people that never dispatched in, but I started watching that show, Abducted in Plain Sight, and I guess y'all were right. It's less than 10 minutes into the thing. I'm like, how is this possible? This can't be real. I haven't watched any more of it, but this just can't be real.
Okay? Yeah, it's real. That is such a bizarre documentary. And I am glad I watched that one. It was one of my favorite ones of last year. I think it was the tail end of last year that came out. I might be wrong on the month of release. But I'm now into The Disappearance of Madeleine McCann, which is pretty cool, on Netflix.
Has HBO released that other one yet that was supposed to be about
the girl?
Yeah, with she like texted her boyfriend or this guy and convinced him or maybe pushed him along and he committed suicide. I don't know, but I want to watch that one pretty bad as well. And I don't know, is that a series? Because everything's a series now, not just one documentary.
Yeah, it's probably like six parts. It's going to be a 12-part series, 4 hours each episode.
The Madeleine McCann one. I watched the first episode. I'm like, this is good. There's 7 or 8 more.
Yeah.
So at some point, this becomes a lot.
It is. I mean, I started to finally watch the Leaving Neverland documentary, mm-hmm. and it went from like 0 to 60 really quick, like cute little pictures, and this is what happened, and then all the details.
Well, they have that moment in the intro. This doesn't spoil anything, but where one of the guys goes,
he's helped me.
Yeah. He's like, he helped me. I loved his music. I loved everything. He's done so much for me, and he also sexually abused me for 7 years. Whoa.
Yep. And then it goes into cute little videos of them as Michael Jackson when they were 4 years old. But as soon as those details start about how Michael, liked a certain position or certain things.
Wow.
I look at the little meter. I'm like, this is only 45 minutes in.
Yeah.
How much more detail do I need? I had to take a pause.
There's a whole other episode, too.
Yeah.
And that's why I had to drop out of the R. Kelly one a little early. Like 3 or 4 episodes into that, I was like, I get it. You know, I understand. I get it. I'm on board. This guy's shifty, and he seems like a really bad human being. There's a lot more of this, though. One of the other ones out there right now that's getting some attention. Do you guys know about Theranos at all? Are you familiar with the company Theranos?
I thought you were talking about the guy from the Avengers.
No, it does sound like the Avenger guy who snapped the fingers, Thanos. But Theranos was this amazing, interesting company that said that they had found a way to do some medical research with a small amount of blood, and instead of like a big blood sample, you would just be able to give a prick of your blood.
Okay.
And that would be enough to get all the information that they needed. They could run blood tests on you with just a little tiny bit. The problem was, it was all BS. It was all a big lie. And this woman behind the company, Elizabeth Holmes, was this really interesting, powerful CEO that had everybody fooled. Everybody fooled. And the HBO documentary is called The Inventor, Out for Blood in Silicon Valley. And it released, I think it dropped on Monday. And so people have been watching this, and they've been enthralled with the voice that Elizabeth Holmes does. Like her actual voice. She goes into a deep voice when she's trying to get a powerful point across.
I know what you mean.
And she sort of like just kind of drops the hammer on her vocal cords. And I've got some of her talking. Let's see if we can pick it up from this. But in the documentary, you can really notice
it. We define diagnosis today as the determination.
No, it hasn't. Well, if I use traditional words to describe what we're doing,
it's what she does that.
People then associate it with conventional processes for analyzing drugs and development.
It's hard to tell.
Methods onto a single platform.
All right, that's regular.
For the first time, we know there's a lot of.
Yes.
We've already done it.
Right there.
We've already done it. Absolutely. And it's actually even published in our FDA decision. It's
like, we've already done. There's like a weird deep voice thing.
But is that working for her? Is it?
Well, it did until the whole company fell apart. But this has turned into a meme for people who are watching the documentary. Like somebody said, there's a woman who tweeted out. This one went nuts all over Twitter.
Facebook.
And her tweet was, I'm going to screw this up. But it was something like, me. Tell my husband to do the dishes. My husband goes, and then it's like, husband says, can't get to it right now, but I'll try to eventually. And then it says, me, deep voice from Elizabeth Holmes, do the dishes. And then like he hops his ass in the kitchen. There's a whole bunch of people, you'll see that on social media, who are making fun of that or just bringing it up in conversation. Let's go over to Randy Marsh. Wow, Randy Marsh himself from South Park. Here he is.
Hey, news junkies. I'm just finally tuning in now, so I'm very excited to come up to call in tomorrow for live trivia, all right?
All right.
Woo! See you tomorrow.
Are we supposed to get pumped for that?
I'm excited.
All right.
I'm excited.
We're ready to go. Here's E-Man.
Trump didn't approve the funeral. The only thing he approved was the flight from D.C. back to Arizona.
Yes.
Period.
He's talking about the Trump comments where he's still talking about John McCain. He wasn't thanked.
I endorsed him at his request, and I gave him the kind of funeral that he wanted, which as president, I had to approve. I don't care about this. I didn't get thank you. That's okay.
No thank you. He didn't get a single thank you from John McCain, or maybe the family. Let's go over to Bacon and Eggs.
What's up, news junkie? What's going on?
Oh, big Twitch star.
Why doesn't he not like John McCain? Why does most Americans not like John McCain? John McCain is a neocon, warmongering piece of garbage.
Ooh.
Him dying doesn't change that fact. He was the reason that Steele dossier got to the FBI, which we all now know is 100% fake and was bought and paid for by the Hillary Clinton campaign.
Fusion GPS!
John McCain did everything he could to try to sabotage Trump. So why would Trump like the man who started a coup attempt against him? It's that simple. And John McCain, like I said, is a neocon, warmongering piece of trash.
This whole thing is a great big coup, and that's why everybody's mad.
If that was just a little taste of that Twitch stream of yours, count me in.
It's going to blow up. Let's go over to Lance. Go ahead, Lance.
So I was listening about the thing in the UK.
Uh-huh.
And the assertion that it was child abuse. And I could care less about her religious beliefs or any beliefs like that. I read these stories about the 10-year-old transgender.
Uh-huh.
Oh, because my child wanted to. It's a 10-year-old child. I mean, they don't even have pubic hair yet. They should not be making such
weird thing.
Life-altering decisions. The parents need to point to their genitals and say, this is what you are. When you're older and you are more capable of making a proper decision, you know, we can revisit that. But it is child abuse. If you starve your child, it's child abuse. But if you feed your child a morbid obesity, they're just sick, you know, they're just heavy, husky kids.
Yeah, look, Lance, there's a lot of people who agree with you and think that way. And with young kids, it's a big debate, which was what prompted the segment to begin with, where they were just jibber-jabbering over each other. And I have no problem with either of the arguments, right? What I have a problem with is when you take somebody's argument, consider it wrong think, and try to make it a crime. That is what I think should be a big concern to people and why that story is important. Back in a moment. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Real Radio Sports. Soccer. Orlando City travels to play the New York Red Bulls this Saturday. Coverage begins at 7 p.m. on Real Radio 104.1.
Get upside and make some money. Everybody could use a little extra cash.
Preparing you
for the impending robot uprising.
This is the News Junkie. We are the new Americana. High
on legal marijuana. So nuts. Yeah, I take to reading a lot of stuff on science and medical breakthroughs. And I personally find that stuff very interesting. I don't know if you guys are into that, but I like to look at these futuristic things and see what's happening. Now, I have my worries. You've heard me talking about the dangers of robots and AI and those things that I'm worried about in some sort of robot-led dystopian future in which we all just die. I don't want that to happen, and hopefully it won't. But these stories about what will happen. Like, for instance, I got so wrapped up the other day in this whole long piece about how the next generation of wireless is going to change everything. Like the next generation of wireless connectivity. What are we like on now? We're on
4G LTE. 4G.
5G, which is out in China.
I've been hearing about this 5G.
Is there not 5G and Wi-Fi?
No. That's different, though, I think. They're talking about nationwide 5G, as in like a data network for the cellular companies. Huawei or Huawei or whatever it's called.
It's going to give us all damn brain cancer.
Maybe. But the company in China already has deployed some of this.
All that internet just whizzing around.
Just flying around everybody's heads, right? And the thing that I read into that I thought was so crazy is when we go to 5G, you know, your phones, they're the size that they are because of hardware, yes, but because of things like hard drives and other technology. But when we have 5G connectivity, you can store a lot of that in the cloud,
ooh,
which means our devices will get smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. And there's even some people who think it's going to be going back to, you know, in your glasses or in some sort of lens on your eye, because further down the road, everything changes with technology. Anyways, I'm interested in all this kind of stuff. And in fact, I just read some big thing done by two very accomplished scientists who their names both escape me, so I apologize to them. And not that this is a common knowledge to anybody who these people are. But they were talking about how they thought as early as 2050, people who are alive in 2050, this is kind of out there with their guessing, will be able to live forever.
What?
Their idea being that we'll make strides medically and otherwise every decade or so that gets better and better and better and better. People, they say, are alive right now that can live almost indefinitely, if not indefinitely, which it's weird to think about.
It is weird, but honestly, would you want to?
No.
I feel like it'd be extremely depressing.
Wait, two things matter, though, in this. Doesn't it matter a lot at what age you are that you begin the process of living forever?
Yeah. I don't want to spend the next 200 years crapping myself.
If they're like, Sabrina, happy 110th birthday.
Yay. Yeah,
but good news. Take this pill, you live forever.
But if they have come up with the technology, both medically and science is medicine, but both medically and also, you know, on the kind of tech side, that we can live forever, that probably means that they're regenerating things like bones.
So you can go backwards.
Reversing things like aging. You know, they've fixed this whole Botox thing.
Well, if you could reverse the aging process, now you're talking about something different. But I still think there's a point to what Sabrina's saying, which is like, if this just goes on forever, is it as fun? Is it as exciting? Is the ride what it is? Or will we not think about things like that when that's how society is?
Yeah, but they won't be able to let everybody live forever. So it's going to be select few, and you're going to just watch everybody around you die except for your other rich friends.
God.
What about pets? You're going to go through 347 pets.
And then if everybody, let's say it got so commonplace that we were all just living indefinitely, now overpopulation becomes a major issue. Reproduction comes into question. One child policy is out the window. We're doing like 1/5 of a child policy because of how many people out there. Just bananas, man. That stuff is wild to me. And I think they're probably way off. But there's a lot of other very well-respected scientists with solid literature. They think in 2100 or 2200, that's the spot we'll be at. Technology is nuts, man. Let's talk to Jim. Go ahead, Jim.
Hey, two things. You got me thinking about that movie WALL-E, where everyone has to be on a little hover-around.
Yeah.
Because of the technology.
We're going to be sipping out of those big sodas, just fat as hell on those hover-rounds.
Yeah, but hey, you were talking about 5G. You know, Huawei, which is leading the charge over there, you know, with China and all their subterfuge, they can't even have their equipment in the U.S. It's a big issue right now.
Because they're worried about spying.
Well, that's the thing, is they're creating all this technology, which is really great, but it's in the interest of China. And I'm not, you know, I'm a big fan of cheap foreign-built stuff, too. But, you know, it all comes at a cost.
Yeah.
And eventually we're going to pay the price, I think.
Right. And the thing is, Jim, we don't really know. Like, I don't trust the Chinese government enough to believe them when they say, you know, hey, don't worry, folks. We're not going to use 5G to spy on the world.
You know, well, you know, to even do business over there, you have to give away your rights to your technology.
Yeah.
Like to even go in there and manufacture and produce stuff, you have to give them the codes and all the technology.
And that whole... That whole arrest of the CEO of this company, Huawei, that you were talking about is bananas if you look into it. I mean, it's very crazy what's happening. And this is all a result of this 5G stuff. That's how much of a game changer it is. Sorry, I'm boring you with all my tech stuff. Let's instead go over to Barbara. Go ahead, Barbara.
Hey, Sean.
Hey.
I had a dream about you a couple days ago. Don't ask me why.
Oh, boy. What,
you were in my car driving with me to different patients' houses, and you were making everybody laugh that you saw, and you were telling me how to cheat to win all the games.
Definitely a dream. Yeah.
It was hilarious, and I don't know why you were in my car.
But you had a nice time?
Yeah, I was laughing, and he was driving, and he was just, like, making the biggest fool out of himself, and it was hilarious. And I'm like, why am I dreaming about Sean?
Did I ever make a move on you or anything, Barbara?
No, no. It was like that. It was, like, hilarious. It was just so much fun.
You wait until tonight. I'm coming back in the dreams.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh, Lord have mercy, help.
It's getting weird tonight, Barbara. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it.
Bye.
That's an odd one. I don't know. I don't know what to do with that information. Or how to process it. Let's go back to the age thing. Police have arrested a 104-year-old woman.
No.
After she said it would be her greatest wish to be arrested. Aww. Listen to this. Listen to this. Here you go.
Good morning, Anne. We're from Bridewell Police Station. We're here to make one of your wishes come true.
That's true.
Yes?
Yes. Yeah, one of your wishes, Anne, I don't know if you can remember, was to be arrested.
I've been on the...
One of your wishes, you requested to be arrested by the police in your wishing.
Oh,
line.
That's right.
I forgot about that wish.
God, you know why? Because I'm 104. You forget these things. She was arrested for being a good citizen.
I hope they gave her the same treatment they do all other criminals.
Shove her on the car.
Give her, what's the crazy van ride called?
Give her the rough ride to the prison. Oh, she's doing okay for now. And she had her wish brought to reality. Congratulations, Grandma. You did it. You've been arrested for being a good citizen. Back in just a moment with a story about a website that was secretly live streaming video from hotel rooms where the guests had no idea it was happening. Wait until you hear this. Hopefully it didn't happen to you. Details are coming up in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
What is a Real Radio podcast?
It's Real Radio. On demand. Find your favorite show at realradio.fm.
From Real Radio. Radio. 104.1.
Hear it here first. Then everyone else will catch up in a week or two. Or four. You're listening to the News Junkie. You can bet, you can play, you can try, you can pray, but nothing's gonna save you from the tidal wave. You can run, you can hide, you can leave, you can stay, nothing's gonna save you from the tidal wave.
Oh boy, I feel for people in situations like this. Imagine you go viral, just internationally, everywhere, and it's an embarrassing moment that you wish never happened. There's so many people who end up in that bucket, and you just go, wow, I feel for you, but I'm enjoying watching this today. Have you, Sabrina, seen this video that's making the rounds of the young woman with the ranch dressing?
I have not. Wait, is there a straw?
No, there's no straw involved.
I have not.
It's going to be worth your time. It's up on See It Now in the News Junkie app for everybody. But this woman is working at a restaurant. And so many people, this is one of my favorite parts, Celia was pointing out as he was posting this on See It Now in the News Junkie app, that there's all these people in the thread on Twitter where this was originally posted, posting their own experiences where they just completely screwed something up and got embarrassed like this. Even posting video footage, right?
Oh, yeah.
And they're just showing themselves.
And a lot of it's the same thing. A lot of it's in restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it is footage of the surveillance system where they go back. And you know, because obviously when an accident like this happens, usually somebody is not there videotaping it.
Yeah.
So they need to go back and see, like, on the camera if they can go pull the footage.
Well, we should tell everybody what the actual accident is. You just watch it?
I just watched it. It's really funny.
This woman who works at a restaurant is everywhere today because she accidentally slipped out of her hand. She accidentally let go of 22 quarts of ranch dressing.
So much.
And it just, she's covered from head to toe. The restaurant is covered in ranch. I don't even know who makes 22 quart things of ranch dressing.
You can get them.
That's a standard bucket of ranch that you'd find at a restaurant. For sure.
You don't want to drop it. The friends reported this.
Oh my God.
She's just staring at the world. Those are friends filming her. They're all laughing at her.
They're watching the security footage.
The moment it blows up on her,
she takes a corner and she's holding this tub that has a plastic cover on it, which rendered meaningless when she dropped it, and instead it landed perfectly upright, but because of physics the whole thing exploded like it would that fountain show in Las Vegas,
just straight up in the air, and then doused her with, oh, you got to see this. It's on the See It Now section of the News Junkie app. There's your distraction for the day. Now I'm about to perform some magic, if you don't mind.
Oh.
Sabrina,
yeah.
Celine, I am going to make you, I have a magic sound effect over here if you're already pulling.
I already have a magic sound effect.
We'll see whose is better, right? We'll have a sound effect off. Here we go. I'm going to make you both parents of a teenage girl for just a moment, if you don't mind.
I don't want magic.
It's
magic.
Happening.
Nope.
It's happening. What's your sound effect? What do you got?
You go ahead.
All right. See. Right. Move my hands around.
It's a decent sound effect.
Bam! What do you have?
No, we'll stick with yours.
Right. Now, magic is in effect. You guys are both parents of a teenage girl.
Okay.
Now, I'm sure you love this teenage girl.
We're co-parenting, or we each have our own teenage girl?
You each have your own.
Okay.
I mean, you don't have to worry about splitting up anything here. You each have your own teenage girl, and she's growing into herself and starting to experience life. You want her to experience life to the fullest, I would imagine, right?
Yeah.
You want her to learn about things. Celine, you paying any attention to this teenage girl?
Yes.
You would just leave her alone and locked in a room, I think.
No.
So you just didn't even want the magic after that.
Mm.
You know what? Let's take this up a notch. C-Lane's getting two teenage girls.
Son of a bitch.
There you go.
Twins or different ages?
Different ages. One's 17, one's 15.
Oh, boy.
Keep it up. We'll have more. You'll be like John and Kate plus eight over there. There'll be
gross.
A bunch of these teenage girls magically
weird.
Put around you. That is weird. So you want them to do well at everything in life is the point. You also want them to know about having a healthy sex life, I would imagine, right?
Yes, of course.
Nope. No, no.
They're teenagers.
This has produced for us the debate of the day, I think.
debate.
This is an impromptu segment. And this idea from a sex-positive writer, and I'm all for sex-positive people and sex-positive writers. I don't know if I'm for this. In fact, I'll go first. No, I wouldn't do it. A sex-positive writer has made a controversial claim that parents should give their teenage daughters sex toys so they can get to know their body better.
We've talked about this before, and the answer is absolutely not.
You would not go, I've got something for you.
That would ruin masturbation for me, so I wouldn't do that to my teenage daughter.
Now, so you're thinking about it from the teenage daughter's perspective in receiving this, is what you're saying.
Which I think is important when it comes to parenting.
Uh-huh.
As a woman, how I would feel. You know what? I can't even finish the sentence because of how weirded out I am. Absolutely not.
If your mom and dad said, Sabrina, we've got something for you. Now you're a teenager and we want to make sure you have a healthy view on sexuality. Here you go. Here's a present for you.
I would have been fine with an iPhone. Thank you, Ma.
It's a sex toy. And now you can learn about your body. I would not do that.
No.
And it's not because...
Would you buy Dylan a fleshlight?
No. No. If my son's 18 and I wouldn't buy a fleshlight.
He can buy his own.
If you get a job, then, and you save your money, you can get your own fleshlight.
She says, this writer, that it's up to parents to begin the discussion about sex. And one way she believes they should show they're supportive is by offering vibrators to their teenage daughters. Now, if there's anybody out there who has done this and has a teenage daughter, I'm
don't
interested.
Don't call in. Do not. I don't want to know what happened
in
your past.
To be a fly on a wall for that conversation. Because I remember my parents trying to talk to me about the birds and the bees. Talk to me about sex. I was way too old. I already knew everything. In fact, I think I interrupted my dad in the middle of his spiel. Like, Dad, I already know about this stuff. I think I took it further. I think I said, I think I know more about sex than you do.
Oh, wow. That's very Sean of you.
Probably not true. But at the time, I just wanted the conversation to end. If that conversation not only continued, but ended with your parents giving you like a Playboy or a porn video or a vibrator.
That's part of the thrill, you know? You're supposed to explore that stuff on your own. This is a perfect example of helicopter parenting at its worst. Let your kid figure it out on their own. They should definitely be open and aware of their bodies, but that's just like a conversation, maybe, you know?
The conversation is way different, yeah.
Give them a book, not a vibrator.
The conversation is way different than here is a thing that is going to make you orgasm. That's weird, as a parent. Here's the thing. And then what do you do? Are there follow-up questions and interviews with the parents? Like, so how's that vibrator that I got you? Is that working out for you?
Mom, can you just add to the grocery list some AA batteries? My vibrators ran out.
That is weird. And we'll go to the dispatches in a bit and throughout the show today to see if anybody had that experience or what you would have done. Send those through the News Junkie app. But I do want to tell you about this story because it is amazing. Before we do play some of your dispatches, there was a website that they just shut down. Now, thankfully for all of us who have, let's just go around the bend here. Have you stayed in a hotel room in the last 6 months, Sabrina?
Yes.
All right, C-Lane, in a hotel room in the last 6 months?
Yes.
All right, and that's all of us. We've all, and probably you too. You know, listening, you probably have stayed in a hotel room within the last 6 months. And thankfully for all of us, this was in South Korea. But how crazy is this? Four individuals have been arrested for a scheme involving spy cameras in 42 motel rooms across South Korea and the live streaming of up to 1,600 unwitting guests.
Wow.
The intended audience was much larger than those four. You see, there was a secret website with more than 4,000 members who paid to access this. The hotel rooms all had IP cameras that had lenses about a millimeter in size. They were installed in TVs, power outlets, and all sorts of other fixtures in the hotel room. This secret website had members that paid to watch these people who had no idea what was happening in their room. That is freaky. I mean, that's way beyond, what's her name? What's the ESPN a woman who Aaron Andrews,
yeah,
with a peephole cam. That's way beyond that. Multiple cameras in your hotel room, spying on you and broadcasting it live to the members of this creepy website.
Now, one, what's the URL? What was the URL?
I don't know if it says it. You know, does it say it in the story that I have?
And two, do you think the hotel was in on it at all?
The hotels, let's see. While some details are light, like how they learned about this, we know a few disturbing facts. It happened between November of last year and beginning of March. So it just stopped not too long ago. And that's when the secret filming was taking place. 97 people reportedly purchased over 800 of the videos, generating the site operator $6,200. They're now facing 5 years in prison, which doesn't sound like enough. I don't have the website in front of me, but man, they've got like, there's a motion detector and like a, you know, a smoke alarm that are all rigged with cameras. That is super, super creepy. Let's go to some of your dispatches. Hopefully they're not creepy. Let me use my magic to make them not creepy.
Oh my God.
All the power in the world over here. Oh, by the way, I take away your teenage daughter.
Thank you.
One of yours stays, Celia.
No.
Just keep one over there. Here's Christian Quesadilla. Nope, that is wrong. I'm sorry. Christian Quesada with... that was not intentional. I am sorry. I apologize. Christian Quesada with a dispatch.
Good morning, news junkies. Headed to the beach to get some surf.
I feel extremely bad about that, Christian, because I know you grew up your whole life with quesadilla last name jokes.
Probably.
I know you dealt with that.
How's it spelled? It could be worse.
It's Quesada, and I looked at it quickly on the soundboard in front of me and just went to quesadilla. Sorry about that.
Surf's up. It's 95 up. Southbound, though. Huge accident. So if you're anywhere in 95, stay away from 95.
Not a good time.
But I got you guys to keep me company. So love listening to you guys. Thank you. Wiggle, wiggle, pop, pop.
Hang 10, bro.
Yeah, catch that rip.
Surf's up.
Cowabunga.
Hit the... Damn, I don't have barely any surfing lingo in my vocabulary.
I was done after cowabunga.
Oh, cowabunga's a good one, too. Here's Cecil or Cecil.
Sup, news junkie.
Hey.
I don't gripe that much, but what is with the Ashley Home Store furniture ad right in the middle of a segment in the podcast?
You listen.
Like, usually you get one
you
or
take it.
You get one in your breaks between when you guys come back. But right in the middle of a segment when, like, you were about to start Fritz on the Street yesterday, it does... an Ashley Home Store furniture.
Anyway. So, but now you want furniture, don't you?
What we found is that advertisements within the show are the most listened to advertisements. So at times you're just going to hear us talking and then you'll hear advertisements right over the top of us.
I know that it seems like we should follow the old sort of traditional way of putting in.
Hey, boss, did you get one of those new home automation systems you control through?
This is expensive right now, just so you know.
I lower my thermostat to my cell phone.
These are in-content ads. You're going to hear them quite a bit on the show moving forward. Sorry, we can't. It's hard to talk.
Hey,
boss! Sorry, boss!
We're working on fixing that.
Yeah, that was an accident. Sorry about that. The podcast ads and the injection methods are being worked on, and that should not happen again. It probably will, but it will fix it in the long run. Here's Kid Cuds.
There's an episode on Black Mirror that's pretty interesting. The lady ends up dying, and her brain ends up being transferred to this retirement home type place.
Freaky.
And I wonder if that's where we're going to be by 2050.
We're all in the cloud.
We're going to be able to vacation to places like, you know, Italy, anywhere in Europe, Asia, Vegas. I mean, it'd be pretty wild if we're dead and we're still railing. Lines of coke off of hookers' asses. That'd be nice. Anyways, wiggle, wiggle, right, pop, pop.
There you go, Kid Cuds. Enjoy yourself in the future. It's going to be interesting. If we make it that far, or it's just scorched earth and there's just little campfire smoke lines all throughout the horizon, everything's done, zombie apocalypse. One of those two things is probably going to happen. Oh, good. This is going to be a disaster. Dave, go ahead.
Whoa, dude, man, I'm worried about these videotapes I got in these hotel rooms.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was down in Daytona last week.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, man.
What did you do in the hotel room, man?
Is that the joke he told you?
He's not finishing it.
Yeah, well, I was, you know, doing a little yayo on some on the dresser, you know.
And you,
sir, do me a favor. Can you delete this station's number off your phone?
Dave, you tried, bud, but you did not land that punch. That, you'll get him next time. Mm-hmm. Back in just a moment. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Join in on the chaos. We eagerly await your dispatch. This is the News Junkie. Yeah, they said the tax man. I lost my job and you got hooked on
oxycodone. They shut the lights off. They took the car in. I bought a song. Well, this was inevitable. I knew the backlash was building on this, and I think this might be one of the things that kind of kicks it into a wider conversation. One of the top posts on Nextdoor right now, if you don't know what Nextdoor is, it's a social media app that's really just for your neighborhood. Like, so I've got mine set for all of, you know, the downtown Orlando area, casting a bit wider net, and I like to see what the popular posts are each day. Yeah. I send an email.
I have mine as wide as possible, but I don't know if I can get to your area.
They
give you a limit.
I can get to downtown and to a lot of the places around me, and then I look at this email and I see what everybody's talking about. And Nextdoor is mostly lost dog, found dog, lost dog, found dog. Hey, look at my Ring doorbell. Who's this creepy person? That kind of stuff. But the top post on Nextdoor right now is Lime Bike's a nuisance. And this person, John, I'll leave out the last name, says, over the last few weeks, I'm finding these Lime Bikes blocking sidewalks, blocking wheelchair access areas, thrown on the street, etc. Everywhere that the rules say they are not to be parked. I'm all for bikeability and a green way to get around, but I'm also more into pedestrian safety and rights. I have been doing my research, and Lime Bike is getting the boot from many cities across the country for these exact reasons. San Diego is even considering impounding improperly parked bikes and charging Lime Bike hundreds to get them back. How do you feel? And there's just a whole thread of people with complaints galore about this new bike share system in Orlando. It has blown up pretty quickly. I think we all have to admit that to start. We went from none of these bikes to Juice was first, right? I think the orange ones.
Yeah, and I think Juice is on its way out. Yeah.
No, I saw that story. I think if you read the whole thing, it's like they're ending their deal with the city, but there's another way that they could keep some of the bikes around.
Here it is. I got an email from them because I was a Juice bike ambassador.
Uh-huh.
So it's the least I could do to share the news with you. Proud to have launched Orlando's first public bike share program 3 years ago. Thank you for your support. Now, the contract with City of Orlando is ending. We've begun removing Juice stations, giggity, and we'll be focusing on launching a new and improved dockless bike share program.
Yeah.
Much like the green bike.
Yeah, and these ones are going to be blue. So get ready for blue bikes be out there.
You can own one, though. This is your chance to own and ride a piece of Orlando history.
Oh, really?
Yes, the historic orange Juice bikes. Do you want to guess how much will be available for purchase?
Oh, that's a great question. And you, if you had one of these at like a bar, like, you know, we know, Caitlin, who is, the head of Orlando Public Houses, some of the best bars in Orlando, the best bars in Orlando, I think. And she has one of the swans. She bought a Lake Eola swan, which is iconic as hell. Super cool to have that. And I see people every time I go to, Van Barry's or Finn Henry's, or whether it's at Van Barry's, people get in that swan and take photographs because it's a cool photo moment. This would be less so, but for the folks like 5-6 years from now who remembered that time, it would be a cool kind of nod at this moment in Orlando.
Mm-hmm. Or you could just use it as a bike.
Yeah, you could do that too. $420.
$200.
$420, man. You're very close. $499.
Ooh, that's steep. A little much. They got a lot of those things too.
Well, maybe they'll give a discount.
They have engines or no?
No.
It's just a pedal bike, and it's a little bit.
But it's part of Orlando history.
It is, yeah. So they're moving over to the blue bikes. So people are pissed off about the Lime bikes everywhere, blocking the sidewalk. people just leave them. I saw one the other day in the middle of Orange Avenue, like right in the median, in the middle of the road, somebody parked one there and just ditched it.
I think people are doing that on purpose. Like
just to be dicks?
Yeah, just kind of like, oh, I can literally put this line bike wherever
but
I want.
But that's against the rules. Whatever they make you say, don't they make you like sign something when you're signing up for to use those bikes?
I mean, it's probably in within your app.
Like terms of service you're not reading or something.
I know you can leave them everywhere. I don't understand why they couldn't look at the numbers of the people that live within the city and drop off like that amount of bikes instead of bringing 17 truckloads.
It's a lot.
And then
of
just
them.
Leave them because this, yes, a lot of people use them. You see it all the time. I saw a gang of like 15 Lime bikers the other day. But there's also a whole bunch that are not used.
I think it's cool. It's a different form of transportation. It's smart for a lot of different reasons. But I agree that there's a lot of areas where they're taking up the whole sidewalk. They're blocking entrances to places. They don't know what to do. And this is one of the problems. Sabrina says she sees like a gang of Lime bikers going by. Well, they all go to a location and now they just leave those bikes there.
Yeah.
And until somebody comes and picks them up, it's a problem. People who are in the downtown area who are seeing more and more of this, and this is not just an Orlando thing. This goes on in Tampa, in Atlanta, in New Orleans, and almost every mid to major city in the United States of America with these bikes right now. And everybody's trying to outlast everybody else. You see, the Uber bikes are coming into play soon. We're going to have multiple competitors. And they're trying to just be the last one fighting so that they can be the public transportation bikes in all the cities in the United States. It's a long-term play, but right now it's pissing some people off. And I've seen people driving. I'm like, just the other day, green light, not like it had just turned green. Green light, like it was in the middle of a green light in a very busy intersection. And as I'm driving down the road, I slam on the brakes because a person on a Lime bike just goes right across. Just bam, right across the road. And I'm like, I would have hit you and killed you on that thing.
I just know that it's also providing people with they go, oh, you know what? I can't get an Uber. I can't get a taxi here. I can just get one of these Lime bikes and go home.
Uh-huh.
And that's dangerous, too.
Can you still get a DUI and it doesn't have a motor?
Yes.
You can?
Yeah.
On a bicycle?
Yeah. I know somebody
who
has.
You can get a DUI and a lawnmower and a horse.
The bicycle one is pretty stupid, though. Like, doesn't even have an engine or anything.
Well, I know that, but you could still be a danger to those around you.
Like falling into traffic or something, causing an accident for somebody else.
Yeah. Or if somebody swerves to miss you and ends up injuring themselves.
We'll see what happens with these bikes different companies that have popped up here, every different color you can imagine under the rainbow for these bike share programs. I think my guess long term is, like I said, there'll be one company nationwide that ends up landing these gigs. They'll get down to the right finite number of bicycles so they're not everywhere. But right now, they seem to be everywhere and very much in the way. But at least on spring break, we're not suffering from the problems that they're suffering from in Miami Beach, where they legitimately held an emergency spring break meeting to try to find out how to be less fun.
What?
They gathered in Miami Beach to try to figure out how they could be less fun.
To, like, deter spring breakers?
To deter the partying. Here's some of the conversation from residents who are upset about this particularly wild spring break down there. Who is in charge of this city? Says Madeline Alvarino, a beach resident who spoke before a packed auditorium. These people are like eating this up too. Every year, last year was the same thing, and now this year you're surprised because it's a mess? We're residents. We pay our taxes. All you work for us.
Oh, God.
Nancy Liebman, a former commissioner, said, there's motorcycles. There's half-naked and fully naked women running across the streets. You're not doing a good job of making it less fun. That sounds enticing.
I'm in, bros.
Somebody is going to listen to that and go there because of
it. I mean, that also happens when you're not in spring break.
It's going to happen anywhere where you've got a party going on.
All they need to do is take a page from Panama City, who had some issues during some spring breaks and then said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to crack down on underage drinking, and we're going to ban drinking on the beach.
Yep.
And guess who was empty for spring break after that?
Yeah. Yeah, and then you, is it worth it? Okay, now you don't have a topless woman in the street partying that you have to see for 5 seconds. God forbid, you poor thing. You don't have that money coming into town either. I imagine in that particular situation you mentioned, C-Lane, that's a hit to the economy.
Yeah,
there.
Didn't we talk to somebody who lived in Panama City like around the time that happened? I feel like somebody called in or something.
I think it might have been.
And kind of gave that same sentiment like, yeah, the area has taken a hit because of these new rules and nobody wants to come here because it's not fun anymore.
Well, down in Miami Beach, the police department told commissioners they are trying to get tough. Starting this weekend, we swear it, we're going to do it. A police squad of roughly 25 officers wearing protective gear will patrol the beach. So you've
patrol
got...
Patrol it for what?
Bikinis and cops in protective gear. They're patrolling the beach to seize alcohol and drugs. The idea is to keep visitors from getting too drunk and causing problems once the beach party migrates...
Come on.
...to the entertainment district after dark. They want to turn down the party.
Oh, turn down for what? They're not going to be able to stop the party. I don't think so. Not in Miami, baby.
It might get worse from here. A couple of quick dispatches will sneak in here. Here's Amajaya. Damn it, I can't remember how she said to say it.
Hey, guys. Good morning. And Sean, since you can never remember, it's Amahia.
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 Got it.
Anyways, on to the sex toys for teenagers. Can't say I'd ever do it, but... When I was younger, I was staying at my friend's house, and her mom came downstairs and was very excited that she found her sister's vibrator. She always had the saying, it's better to play with toys than boys.
There's some truth to that, but I don't know that I would want to be the delivery method. Here's your sex toy is not something I want to say to a child. I shouldn't have said that. Here's Zordon with a dispatch.
Good afternoon, news junkies. Yeah, I know you're talking about the old vibrator sex toy thing. And I'll never forget my old dad. When these things would happen to him, one of the things he'd say to me, he'd say things like, what the hell are you doing in the bathroom day and night? Why don't you get out here and give someone else a chance?
Yeah.
Or just maybe go the old American Pie thing, throw him a tube sock and a pour out.
No.
I don't know. It's up to each parent, but it is kind of weird, I admit.
You just have a conversation with them. You talk to kids about the realities of sex. You say, be safe. You say, because you have to be first and foremost. I don't care how much religion is injected into your family life. You have to be realistic. So you have to tell these kids to be safe. You have to tell them to be prepared for the consequences of not being safe. And you have to explain to them some of the things that happen when you're starting out with your sex life. But you don't have to give them vibrators. Because that's weird. Just goes too far. Here's Mushy Waffles.
Hey guys, I find it funny you bring up parents and bring up sex to their kids. My parents got all four of their kids, 3 girls, 1 boy, all sex toys about when we hit 16.
What?
My family's close, so I thought it was hilarious. But I guess for most people it'd be kind of weird. But heck, my parents said, let us know. We'll get you birth control and easy peasy.
Hey.
Have a good one,
that
guys.
That makes a lot more sense. And that's less awkward, I think. Just the idea that they give you this sex toy and then they go by your room and they hear, brum, brum.
Yeah.
Now they know.
Honey, dinner's ready.
When you finish up in there.
I feel like I haven't seen you in a week. What happened a week ago?
Your right arm looks so muscular.
You don't want to be in that situation. Maybe some families are just a little more open than others. Back in a moment with the next episode. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
You'll have as much fun as the people in those herpes commercials.
407-916-1041. Toll free 888-978-1041.
Real Radio.
104.1.
Real. Radio. Cooking up today's lead stories. This is the News Junkie, Sean Wasson.
In just a moment, Also, as per usual, at 1 o'clock, live trivia is on the way. Fire up the News Junkie app. If you don't have it, for God's sake, just download it. It's free for you to get, and all you have to do is search in the App Store right now for The News Junkie. Let's do the next episode.
Because there's a lot on TV, you can't possibly keep up with all of it, even though you should, because what else are you going to talk about?
During the day, it's okay, but at night, my wife, she tried murder me with really bad gas.
Nothing. Weather's nice. It's time for the next episode with Sabrina. Hey.
Are you ready for the next episode?
Yeah.
Next episode brought to you by Dustin's Barbecue, Real Southern Barbecue since 1991. And in 2019, it's still just as perfect. It has 6 great locations, including a brand new location, Orlando East off Highway 50, plus DeLand, Edgewater, Melbourne, Ormond, and Port Orange. Visit dustinsbarbecue.com and enjoy, and bring me some mac and cheese. Also, really quick, while I have a chance, it is going to be a fun, packed weekend full of radio, real radio stuff to attend to.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to be at Sprint, 3 different locations, and 4 different opportunities each time to win $100 and a Visa gift card. I'm going to have a hoop. It's going to be in a hat form, and you have to bring your game face. All that information, realradio.fm/calendar, and then Saturday night, I'll be at Topgolf with Angel and Ross from Monsters and from the Jim Colbert Show, respectively. And we're going to be watching Orlando City as they take on the New York Red Bulls. If you register at orlandocitysc.com/gameweek, you'll get tickets to the March 31st match here at home, and you'll get registered to win an all-inclusive suite for you and your friends.
Wait, you just like sign up and you get tickets?
Yeah.
That's not bad.
We usually don't do that. So
I will put my name on anything for free tickets.
Yeah, definitely worth it. All that information, realradio.fm, or you could hit me up on social media and I'll give it to you. 15 years ago, 2004, an online Yahoo news poll named this guy the nation's favorite ambassador to welcome aliens to Earth.
Okay.
Do you know?
Jeff Goldblum.
That is incorrect. I'm going to give a guess.
Will Smith.
Incorrect again. Are you basing off
Tom movies? Hanks?
That is incorrect.
Ozzy Osbourne.
Ozzy Osbourne.
We're in trouble.
Is going to be, in case it ever happens, the ambassador to welcome aliens to Earth. And I look forward to that conversation. I didn't even press the button. Thank you.
I've heard that so many times. I love that clip. It's always right there.
So it was 15 years ago when the internet was really fun, and then it was 13 years ago that it all kind of just went away. Remember that time when this didn't exist?
It's texting, it's blogging, it's Facebook, but better.
MySpace?
Uh-uh. Tell me what you had for
2006.
Oh, in Instagram?
No.
Twitter?
Twitter is
oh,
right.
Oh, yeah.
Getting rid of Twitter. Never forget the 140-character limit. May it rest in peace. Lori Loughlin and Felicity Huffman are starting to deal with the possibility of jail time. They're going to call it Orange is the New Black Bold from Hollywood. Coming to a TV near you.
That daughter is so mad right now.
Oh, yeah. I got it.
Because it crushed everything.
I have her quote coming up. Felicity Huffman also, she took down her parenting website. So if anyone's interested in purchasing the URL from babytobribing.com, it is available. Bill and Ted 3 is officially happening, you guys. Excellent.
Yeah.
It'll have everything the first two had, except it hangs just a little bit closer to their niece.
Oh.
Because they're old, but sweet.
Keanu's still fantastic in every way.
Just because you look at his picture every time you have self-love, Sean, doesn't mean that he hasn't aged.
Except that wedding movie he was in was kind of weird.
I don't even know if I've seen that.
Wick 4.
I'm still upset that you guys have never seen John Wick. You got to see John Wick.
When it's available to stream, I will watch it.
It's streaming everywhere. It's old
now. There's only the third or the second one there. Mark Hamill hinted pretty strongly that he's in the next Star Wars movie. Chewie, however, is rumored to have bucked out the next film. Hey, come on, you. I gotcha. Rosie O'Donnell turns 57 today, you guys.
Really?
Yes. Of course, you always set a goal for yourself. What are you going to do this next year? Her goal this year is to get her diver certification, which is awesome because she already has 400 hours in experience from her time in the muff.
Yeah. Remember when Rosie O'Donnell had that massive daytime show?
Yeah, I went on. I went to the set once.
Oh, did you see like a live show, or you just like did a tour?
We just did the tour.
She had that, and then this was before she came out, and she would call all the celebrities, like Tom Cruise is a cutie patootie. My God,
cutie patootie. But yeah, Olivia Jade is furious at her parents for ruining her life. I mean, parenting fail number one.
Slammed her door so hard.
It's easy to treat 19-year-old Olivia Jade like some spoiled rich girl who got something she didn't deserve, but what if she didn't want it to begin with?
Yeah.
My God. She's kind of a victim if you think about it. Real monsters are her parents, of course, Lori and Massimo. She didn't even want to go to school. That is what an insider is saying. She was perfectly fine being an influencer and a YouTube star. Because that is 2019 for you.
She was doing pretty good, though. She had, like, millions of people, and this just upended all of it.
A source says she has been passionate about her career and wanted to work and was doing well, but that wasn't enough. Her parents said she would have to juggle college and her career. Now she's devastated because everything she built imploded before her eyes. She feels they ruined everything. How embarrassing! Her sister Bella, devastated as well, but for the opposite reason. She wanted to go to college, and now she can't because her parents are involved in a massive bribery scandal when it comes to college admissions. So sorry about that.
I love all the photos from this scandal. What they call it? Operation what again?
Varsity Blues?
Yeah, Operation Varsity Blues. All the photos where they have like somebody and they're have a soccer ball and they're like doing the pose and everything, and they're like, this person has never played soccer in their life, and they're on the soccer team.
I love it. But brace yourselves. Hold your loved ones close. Peppa Pig is a sexist.
I knew it. I've been saying this all along.
I mean, first deemed a gangster by the Chinese government and is inspiring American children everywhere to update, I guess, their best Madonna faux English accent, because she recently used, I can't even read it, she recently used the term fire man.
Oh, no.
When describing Mummy Piggy dressed as what would be referred to as firefighter.
Wow.
Who is shaking with rage right now?
I'm very
besides
upset.
Michael J. Fox. For cartoon Mummy Piggy's dress and a firefighting gear everywhere and being called a man. Now, the London Fire Brigade, who clearly has a lot of time on their hands when they're not holding fire hoses and ladders, tweeted at the pig's handle, because she's on Twitter. Come on, Peppa Pig. We've not been firemen for 30 years. You have a huge influence on kids, and using out-of-date, stereotypical, gender-specific wording prevents young girls from becoming firefighters.
My God. That's such an annoying gotcha moment. Like, that's one of the more annoying things about Twitter. It's like, oh, we got you. Like, Peppa Pig probably did great things for years and years and years. And like, we got you on this thing.
Not anymore. No way. So if you ever see a pig dressed ready to put out a fire, be sure to call her a piggy firefighter and not a piggy fireman. Because Peppa, you're canceled, bitch.
Oof.
Good luck in America.
Mm-hmm.
Good God. I only have time for so much. I know we might have to just touch on it tomorrow. And that, of course, I'm talking about Adam Levine's nipples. Because there are 17 pages worth of complaints here. And I'm pretty sure about 10 of them are just about his nipples. But with that, why not? And I don't know if you guys saw the comment. And I appreciate you for allowing me to continue my call. I called it on Facebook after we were tagged. Ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, boy.
A study suggests that hip-hop makes cheese taste better. Oh, yeah.
Hip-hop does not change the taste of food. Like Swiss, spread it out like cream. No, not the freshest prints, but the king of Philly. Been working on my crap, but I'm no silent dog. Don't need a silly dance just to go platinum. Don't get in on the whole thing about cheese?
Oh, yeah. Ready? Cheese. Cheese is right. It's already been said that music helps plants grow faster. Now, a new Swiss study, get it? Suggests that you can improve cheese by playing it some hip-hop. The research from Bern University of Arts tested the effects of different styles of music on the taste, smell, and texture of cheese.
Wait, hold on. No. Are you saying that playing music for the cheese changes it, or are you saying that listening to the music while you eat the cheese changes it?
Well, let's dive in, Christopher. Eight wheels of a mental.
Wheels of cheese are expensive.
Mm-hmm. We're subjected to various tunes played on repeat for long periods. A ninth wheel was left in silence. The chosen music included Led Zeppelin's Stairway to Heaven, Mozart's Magic Flute Opera, and this band right here.
No idea.
It's a group, and they call themselves
Gorillas?
Something.
No.
A Tribe Called Quest.
A Tribe Called Quest is correct. They played the album We Got It From Here. The music was injected straight into the cheese via transmitters instead of just blasting a speaker in the directions of the wheels.
What does that even mean?
That they injected it straight like
Bam!
Via transmitters. They put it in there.
They pumped it with the music.
With transmitters that they stuck in the cheese.
I don't
have any more information.
I'm calling
on that.
Shenanigans on
and
this.
And it turns out that the cheese and the beets are a good match, with researchers noting big taste differences in the wheel that listen to Tribe. So the next step, playing hip hop to different styles of cheese. I've never tried a metal cheese.
I don't know why. But when you said there was one wheel of cheese that didn't get any music, I felt like this
really left out. Well, they always have to have, what is that? It's not the placebo, it's the.
No, it's the.
We remember
control.
This from the control. So, C-Lane, why are you not a believer, but you have all the science terms in your head? It happens. Try it.
How
Put
do you
cheese.
Inject music
you
into
inject
cheese?
You inject it right in there.
Have you never injected music into something before?
No.
How do you listen to music?
I listen to it with my ears.
Loser.
Wow.
That is old school. We inject it now.
Yeah. And I'm about to inject the boob tube in your heads. We have, of course, the NCAA first round playoffs, Hollywood Medium, 8 o'clock, and it's going to be Mike the Situation, I thought he was in jail, and a guy from Queer Eye. Watch What Happens Live, and we have Julie Louise Dreyfus. I was going to go with Sean Penn instead on Kimmel, because I can't say that lady's name. Have a great Thursday, my friends, and remember to inject your cheese with hip-hop. Oh.
Smoke weed every day.
Thank you, Sabrina. The, what is it? Queer Eye for the Straight Guy? What's the name of this show?
Queer Eye Now.
It's
just
Queer Eye Now.
The Netflix one.
The Queer Eye Netflix show. Courtney has been binging all of a sudden.
It's really cute.
Oh my God, is that show full of emotional twists and turns. I'm like half paying attention, getting work done. And I look over, I'm like, what the hell? Are they crying again? What's happening here? Back of it. She watched all of the episodes, I think, in like 3 or 4 days. There was a lot going on there. When we come back, we've got live trivia going on, so get on the phones right now. 407-916-1041. That's one phone line you can call, or 1-888-978-1041. One of those two will line you up for live trivia. Fire up the News Junkie app wherever you are to play along with us next. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
A slow driver, a cat lady, and a guy who likes birds. It's better than it sounds. The News Junkie.
Live trivia. This is when it benefits you greatly to have the News Junkie app, because you can play along. You know, somebody's going to be on top of that scoreboard tomorrow at about 1:10 or so when C-Lane reads it. And the person on top of that scoreboard, the winner of the week, is going to get an Amazon gift card just for playing along and listening to the show. So it's easy to do. You might as well get involved. Let's do this thing. Let's do live trivia right now.
Get ready for live trivia with the News Junkie. Play along with the News Junkie smartphone app.
Right.
What?
Unless you don't have it, in which case, get it.
Search for the News Junkie in the App Store.
And now, live trivia.
I keep my windows correct on this computer in front of me. Bam! I'll get that live trivia to start the moment I want it to next time. Hopefully. We'll get to the phones in just a second. Two callers head-to-head. It's live trivia for a Thursday, March 21st, 2019. And you're playing along in about 20 seconds in the News Junkie app. What do you do? Well, when the time is right, the play button will appear. You tap that play button, maybe wait a second or two, tap that play button, and then fire through the questions.
I'm going to do it right now.
No, too early. answering those questions as fast as you possibly can. That gets you the most points, and that gets you on the scoreboard. C-Lane could say your name, get you some profile views, space bucks galore. It's all happening right now. Hit play, and good luck. Let's get some players on the phones. He's been waiting for a while, I think. Forrest, are you there?
I'm here.
All right, Forrest is here, and he's ready to go. And let's see, how about Jason, are you there?
Yeah.
All right, we got Jason and Forrest, our players in live trivia today. Best of luck, honestly, to the two of you. Don't screw it up here. Try to keep it quiet in the background and do your best with your answers as we start with question number one. Somebody's already loud. The Los Angeles Angels are closing in on the richest contract in the history of American sports, a 12-year contract extension worth at least $430 million with this baseball player. Who's getting all that money? Mike Trout, Dan Chovy, Jake Sturgeon, or Barry Cuda? Forrest, go ahead.
Mike Trout.
What do you think, Jason?
Same.
Number two, police in Arizona have arrested an Arizona mother who's accused of abusing her 7 adopted children. Now, why would she do this terrible thing? To get them to perform for her popular YouTube channel. What was the name of the channel? Everything is fine. Was it Fantastic Adventures, Cool Mom and Her 7 Orphs, or Marvelous Journeys? Go ahead, Jason.
Cool Mom and Her 7 Orphs.
All right, Force?
Yeah, Marvelous Journeys.
We've got different answers on that. We'll see if one of them is right. Number three, videos of people having their necks and backs cracked into place by chiropractors are attracting millions of views online. One of them is called Lady Gets Her First What? Lady Gets Her First Thrill Drill, Lady Gets Her First Johnson, Lady Gets Her First Claw Hammer, or Lady Gets Her First Richard. Forrest.
Richard.
Jason, go ahead.
Johnson.
We're going to number four. Toy Story 4's first trailer confirmed that all the franchise's characters would return, but there's a new character as well. And they're saying maybe it's the most relatable. Is it Morty, Corky, Porky, or Forky? Jason.
Porky.
Forrest.
Forky.
Did you say Forky?
Yeah.
All right. We go to number five. A sequel to Forrest Gump was written, but it was scrapped because 9/11 happened right after this thing was completed. It's probably just as well because Forrest Jr. was going to what in the Forrest Gump sequel? Was he going to lose both legs, have AIDS, be a little racist, or murder Lieutenant Dan? Forrest.
Ooh, number two.
Jason.
No, I'll say the same.
Number six, a video of an airplane passenger licking a toilet seat has set Twitter on fire. Thousands voiced their disgust after watching the clip. It was all posted by a Twitter user named, is it Grimiest, Mile High Thought, Foolish 420, or Tongue Out Tammy 3? Jason.
Number two.
Forrest.
Now I'm going to go number one.
Number seven, the final question. We've arrived at the final question, gentlemen. That doesn't mean you give up yet. You put your brain to the test by pushing further. We learned yesterday the most expensive baseball card in the world is so rare because it was sold by the American Tobacco Company until they were threatened with legal action. Whose card is it? The Jonas Brogner card? The Will E. Blackland card? The Honus Wagner card, or the Joseph Camille card? And it's your turn, Forrest.
Number three.
All right, Jason.
Same.
All right, here you go. Honus. Well, yeah, that's you get the point. Everybody only knows that guy.
It's,
for this
Silent H.
Yeah.
Honus.
Wagner. Honus. You've got an expensive baseball card. That's what you need to know. Forrest and Jason, it was all right. We'll see who the winner is in just a moment. Live Trivia is brought to you by Nations Trucks. You can find their website, as one might imagine, located on the internet at nationstrucks.com. You type Hypertext Transfer Protocol /www.nationstrucks.com. if we're in 1999. Just put nationstrucks.com in your search engine, and you're going to get there. The best selection of badass trucks in all of Florida. So start your journey now and get a fantastic truck at nationstrucks.com. Question number one, the Los Angeles Angels are about to sign a $430 million deal with this player.
It was both the players, Forrest and Jason, that said Mike Trout.
Let's play ball,
that was riot.
Yeah, baseball, baby. So much money. Number two, police in Arizona have arrested the woman who ran a popular YouTube channel called this.
It was Boris that said Marvelous Journeys, and that answer was incorrect. It was Jason, though, that said Cool Mom and Her Seven Orphs.
Yeah.
Jason.
Come on. No?
That was incorrect. The correct answer was Fantastic Adventures.
Damn. Number three, videos of people having their necks and backs cracked into place by chiropractors are going viral. One's called Lady Gets Her First What?
Forrest said Lady Gets Her First Richard, and that answer was wrong. Yeah, dick. It was Jason that said Lady Gets Her First Johnson, and crackety crack, you got it right.
There we go. Number four, Toy Story has all the regulars, Woody, Buzz Lightyear, you know them. But also this one that's pretty damn relatable for some people.
Jason said Porky, and that answer? The correct answer, which is the one that Jason said, I'm sorry, which is the one that Forrest said was Forky. Forky Forrest.
Number five, a sequel to Forrest Gump was written, and it would have had Forrest Jr., Forrest Gump's little son. He was gonna what?
Both players said have AIDS, and Jenny, you got it right.
Number six, a video of somebody licking a toilet seat on a plane was posted by this user.
It was Jason that said Mile High Thought.
Come on!
Looks like you didn't think about it, though.
Damn it.
It was Forrest that said the grimiest, and that answer was the rightiest.
Number seven, we learned yesterday that one baseball player has the most expensive card in the world, and it was all because of legal action being threatened to the people who printed it. Who was that baseball player?
It was Forrest and Jason that said Onis Wagner, and that was Ryan. And now, we don't have a tie. Actually, we have someone that won. The winner of live trivia is Forrest.
All right. Forrest, congratulations. You've done it. You're the victor. You won live trivia. Hang on tight. We're going to get you set up with a great prize. What do we have today, C-Lane?
New legs.
No, oh, that's a great prize for Forrest, too.
Yeah, he's not the one that needed him.
Oh, the kid, yeah.
No, I have a pair of tickets to see True TV's Impractical Jokers, the Crangers McBasketball World Comedy Tour, starring the Tenderloins at CFE Arena. That's going down tonight, so you'll have to come pick up those tickets today. Tickets are on sale now.
Love when you realize something like that in the middle of you talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's that's fast brain work going on there.
All Ticketmaster locations or the CFE Arena if you'd like to attend and see them. And I hear it's a good time. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen the live show, but I heard
very
it's a good
funny.
Time. I also have, for this weekend, I got tickets to the Wassie's Cooking Class. And this one is Forgotten Barbecue. It's this Saturday. From 4 to 7, you'll be preparing poor man's brisket and Texas-style smoked turkey breast. You get to learn a lot and eat a lot from the fine folks over at Wassie's Meat Market, so you can check that out as well.
What more would you want? You're learning, you're eating, and in the future, you'll be able to recreate those great dishes like the professionals over at Wassie's Meats. Fantastic stuff. Let's take a look at the scoreboard in the News Junkie app.
At the top spot with 2,185 points, Bluegill McGillicuddy has the lead, followed by my best friend, Pizza Peisenberg, Scar Chess, Fancy Nancy, the Dita, Big Snack 98, Bald Death Dealer username, and Just the Tip. Back five look a bit like Madame Steampunk, the Sherman, oh, it's Dasherman, I always do that, Mr. Zip, Colombian Papi, and Juan Wayne.
All right, thank you all for playing along. You, shame on you, you didn't play today? Make tomorrow the first day, or even Monday when we have a clear scoreboard, but get some practice in tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Download the app, search for The News Junkie in the App Store. It's absolutely free, and there's a ton of stuff that you can do after you download it. We'll show you things on See It Now. You can subscribe to Secret Shows, the uncensored shows, available right in the News Junkie app and at GetSecretShows.com. And you can send dispatches in to get on the show, among many other features, all for $0 unless you get into the Secret Shows world. So check it out. Search for The News Junkie in the App Store. When we come back, is a college in Connecticut that is testing out a program that just seems like a bad idea. Somebody's going to have fun, though. What that program is, well, we'll figure it out next. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Because you're never too old to learn something stupid. This is the News Junkie.
We'll get to some of your dispatches in just a moment. This seems like such a bad idea. Though I'm sure the students at this college are thrilled with this test. Let's take you back to your college days. Now, you never stayed in the dorms in college, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, you did.
My first year.
But was this at a school where it wasn't a religious school. That was prior to this that you went to a religious school at some point, right?
Catholic school from kindergarten until senior year of high school, and then my first 2 years of college was at Florida Gulf Coast University.
All right.
And that first year was in a dorm.
All right, at FGCU.
That is correct. Go Eagles.
In the dorm, you're part of the Eagles, you're in there. What's it like in the dorms itself? What's daily life like there? Are you partying?
Oh, yeah. We were partying, and then we were doing a lot of eating food. It was me and three other gals.
Yeah.
Two girls I went to high school with. And then two random roommates because we drove both of them out. And then we would hang out with people, maybe other dorms, or there were like student housing complexes. We'd go hang out over there.
Were you drinking?
I'm not here to say that I wasn't.
Were you allowed to drink if you were of age?
Oh, no.
In the dorms?
They would have like random checks by the RAs.
That's where this comes in. Students at Central Connecticut State University are testing a new pilot program allowing of-age students to have alcoholic beverages in their dorm rooms.
Oh, yeah. You were allowed to do that if you're of age.
So if you're 21 at your school, you were allowed to have a six-pack of beer or something in your dorm room?
Yep.
So what's weird about this, then, if that's the case, that's just kind of commonplace?
Maybe my school was different.
They have really particular rules, though. Officials say eligible students can request to live in two dorms. There's only two dorms that are going to be drinking dorms, a.k.a. the most popular dorms on campus. Only two dorms are where they're going to do this test starting this fall. They won't allow alcohol in the dorms' hallways or common areas. Students could keep a six-pack of beer, a bottle of wine, or a small bottle of liquor.
How small?
It does not say. Hang on, I think the news report might mention this. Let's check in with this.
The days of dry dorms at Central Connecticut State University will soon be over. Thanks for joining us. I'm Keisha Brand.
Good evening, I'm Mike Heideck. The campus is starting a pilot program where students over the age of 21 can actually drink in their room. So why would the school consider something like this?
NBC Connecticut's Matt Austin.
Why would they do this?
Campus with our top story at 11. Matt.
This was their top story?
Oh my gosh, what a slow news day.
New Britain, Connecticut is not an exciting place. If this was your top story, that the college is testing out some dorms with drinking.
It's weird they're starting a pilot program to let them drink, because you'd think if anybody shouldn't be drinking, it's people flying planes.
Yeah, Keisha and Mike, for decades, students have not been allowed to bring booze into their dorms. And tonight we heard from the university why it's thinking about changing this long-standing policy.
I think it's a good idea in general just to, you know, bring more students on campus.
Tonight, students at Central Connecticut
State. It's not going to bring more students. They're drinking anyways. Everybody finds a way, even if they did have rules for this, to get around it. But what's this test going to determine? Are they going to see if like people get out of control and the dorms just turn into absolute chaos? What's the end game here, I think? More of the universities seem to be clamping down on this stuff than opening themselves up to testing. But maybe it works. Maybe it goes gangbusters for Central Connecticut State University. Good luck, CCSU.
Once you're 21, do you live in a dorm, though? Isn't that more for like the younger kids?
You still can, I think.
I mean, right? You can, but I don't think they do.
It'd be weird to be like 28. 30 or something, still living in the dorms on
just
campus.
Just trying to live my college life, man.
I think there's like 20 movies with that plot. But they're testing it out there, and they'll see how everything works. Speaking of testing things out, in the UK, they're testing out a new program. And this is a weird one. Have you guys been made aware of Moms Make Porn?
You know, must have missed that headline.
Have I been made aware of something called Moms Make Porn, or have I been made aware that moms do make porn? Because I definitely know that.
Not like a MILF thing. No, just like there's a show called Moms Make Porn. It's on Channel 4 in the UK. And they started this out by talking about what the porn industry looks like currently in 2019. And then these moms wanted to work together to help create a porn that they would be okay with their kids watching, which is such a weird thing. But the moms involved in this had to put in the work, you know, not like acting on the set and being involved in the filming of the porn itself, like producing, directing, helping to piece together this porn that would be better for younger people to watch. And one of their research moments was them going to the set of a pretty intense pornography. They met porn star Roxy. Roxy told them what was in store for them. You're going to see some oral, some sex, and number three shot at the end.
Why does that have to be included for parents?
You got your start, your middle, and your end, and she's getting them ready. That wasn't enough for the moms. And one of these moms who's involved in Moms Make Porn, this TV show in question, is going to have a hard time on set when they're doing the real deal because the number three shot at the end was a little much for her.
There was like a spot when you squirted the
camera. With things hotting up on set.
Hotting up.
Yeah, it's hot.
The performers and mums take a break.
She wants to be sick.
One of them is throwing up after watching that. She ran outside.
Same.
She's puking in the bushes.
She's got water.
Oh, my God.
I don't think this one's ready for your kids.
Can you get her some water?
Do you?
I haven't got anything on me.
I have tissues.
They're trying to help her out.
Oh, sweetheart.
If being on a porn set ends like this, can these mums actually make a porn film of their own?
I don't know.
I feel absolutely ghastly. What I was hoping for was something a lot, you know, a lot more sort of real and intimate.
It wasn't that it offended me because I thought she's beautiful.
And, yeah.
She's going to throw up again at the end there. Just too much for her.
So did they just get the one-on-one on how the porn works or they had any say in how the things went? Like, you know, we've gone to a lot of consideration, and I think our kids still deserve the final shot at the end.
Well, you're jumping ahead of things here. We're still in the early episodes. They haven't made their porn yet. Just watching somebody else film one, though, was enough for that lady to run outside and start puking absolutely everywhere. Quickly before we go to break here, there is some movement in New Zealand in the wake of this mosque massacre where 50 people were shot and killed by this lunatic in Christchurch. And the Prime Minister of New Zealand, Jacinda Ardern, has announced that they are going to be banning assault rifles. And I don't know the details on exactly what they mean by all this, because assault rifles itself is sort of a loose phrase. Then they say high-capacity magazines. I think that's fairly clear, and they could just put a number on that. Military-style semi-automatic rifles, they're going to be banning them as a response to this whole thing. And this is all happening very quickly in the wake of the attack. Interestingly enough, New Zealand doesn't actually have a major gun violence problem. New Zealand doesn't even have a major violence problem. This attack alone killed more people than die as a result of that stuff in an entire year in New Zealand. Very peaceful place. It was just this incident that kicked off a sequence of events that led us here. And here's the Prime Minister speaking on this assault rifle ban.
Today I'm announcing that New Zealand will ban all military-style semi-automatic weapons. We will also ban all assault rifles. We will ban all high-capacity magazines.
High capacity.
We will ban all parts with the ability to convert semi-automatic or any other type of firearm into a military-style semi-automatic weapon. We will ban parts that cause a firearm to generate semi-automatic, automatic, or close to automatic gunfire. In short, every semi-automatic weapon used in the terrorist attack on Friday will be banned in this country.
So I understand some of this stuff. Like, I definitely understand, and I would be interested in having some new rules and legislation roll through for high-capacity magazines myself. I know a lot of you would not, but myself, I would be interested in that here in the United States. But
do we know, is there a number for what high-capacity is?
They don't say in this, not in the story that I'm looking at from USA Today. They don't mention, actually 30-plus round magazines. Anything over 30 rounds would be a high-capacity magazine that they'd be getting rid of in New Zealand. But when you say, there's a lot of people who are confused by this stuff, and even I don't know as much as I should about weapons. When you say semi-automatic weapons, they say semi-automatic rifles in particular here. But if it was just semi-automatic weapons, it would be virtually every weapon that you can think of. Because that just means you pull the trigger and it fires, as opposed to automatic where you hold the trigger down and you get a continuous stream of firing going on. They're banning assault rifles. Again, I don't know what they're considering as assault rifles. They're going to have to define that. And then military-style semi-automatic rifles as a response to this whole thing. Happened quickly. This attack was just 6 days ago, and already they've made these moves. And it's not too unfamiliar a territory around there. Australia has a major, major gun ban in place where it's very difficult to get weapons there. That was something that happened in the wake of a mass shooting years ago, and they did a big gun buyback. And so I think people in New Zealand, this probably doesn't put them off all that much in the wake of this. And it's not, the society in New Zealand is just not like America with our attachment to guns. At least a lot of people in this country.
It's all right, Sean.
Second Amendment right? Yeah. I mean, I stand behind the Second Amendment and the right to have guns. I just think some of these things that come into play, you end up maybe helping the situation out a little bit. Do we need, like, this giant magazine clip, whatever you want to call it, of now I can fire 80 bullets?
Yes, I'm going duck hunting.
Just really seems a bit excessive. And I think many people who have them would generate that same conclusion were they to be honest with themselves and open up debate. But there we go. That's what's happening in New Zealand in the wake of this whole thing. And now to a story that I wish was real, but just like some of these other ones, there's little indicators in here that seem like it might be made up. Want it to be real from the Mirror in the UK. A Colombian woman known as the Beast has died after 5 hours of drug-fueled sex. 32-year-old, known as the Beast, told her partner she felt dizzy before going into cardiac arrest at a hotel room in Colombia. Her partner calls 999-99911, whatever it is there, emergency services.
But 911.
They reportedly took too long to arrive. He didn't know what to do, so he wrapped the naked unconscious woman in a blanket and took a taxi to the hospital, and they weren't able to revive her.
Oh.
The Beast is dead.
Fatality.
When they say things just like yesterday's story, like known only as the Beast.
Well, you know, if you spent your time and your whole life living up to that, getting that nickname, and then you die doing what you love, I'd like to be known by that one name.
Generally an indicator, the story coming from La Repubblica, which usually is all right, but when they say 32-year-old known as blank and don't give a name for anybody, that the story might just be a fairy tale. And I think that may be what you're doing. I want the Beast story to be real. I want the sex to death story to be real. I just don't know if it is in this case. When we come back, jury duty, one of these stories is definitely my favorite story of the day. Wait till you hear the details on this one. Very bizarre excuse for a stabbing coming up. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
The game of magnets, taking over the world one terrible person at a time. This is the News Junkie.
Yeah.
Jury duty on the way. What story in particular? It's an interesting excuse for stabbing somebody. I don't know if it's going to work for you, buddy, but it's an interesting one. And we're going to figure out exactly what that is in a moment. We got to get to your dispatches here first because you've sent these in. I got some first timers all lined up. All these folks who downloaded the News Junkie app are listening to the show and chiming in like Arbar with a dispatch.
First dispatch. The University of Florida policy on alcohol in dorms.
Hard to hear you.
Have it if you're of age, but you can't give it to underage students.
I was saying in UF, you can't give drinks to underage students. You can have yours. I know it's your first dispatch, Arbar. Next time, listen back so we can make sure it's all clear and ready to go.
Or just get out of the Everglades and then send it.
You'll hear some of these other folks just drilling the audio, right? I got Faith here. Plum Crazy with a dispatch.
Good afternoon, Sean, there we go. Sabrina, and C-Lane.
Hello.
This is Plum Crazy and the sex talk. Well, my dad gave me and my brother the sex talk.
Yeah?
Birds and the bees, as you would call it. He said, boys, here's a wooden spoon, and here is a dish rag. Get all you can while you light the wooden spoon, because when you get older, it turns to a dish rag, if you know what I mean.
What?
So
what?
I took him up on the offer and tried. Wiggle, wiggle, pop, pop.
Wait.
If you get all you can,
like, you got the slay a lot of ladies while you are more like the wooden spoon than the dish rag.
Oh, it gets it's a little less rigid over time.
It was like turn something into a dish rag after putting so much into it.
I would have been confused by the advice from Pops there, but it I guess it worked for you. You're a grown man. You seem to have it all put. Maybe you're even an adult, like we talked about. Science suggests you're probably in your 30s if that's the case. Here's Pirate Chris.
My kid used to watch Peppa Pig a lot, and now that he's a little older, he calls everybody a he, regardless of their gender. And I actually had break it down not too long ago for him so he could understand. And now he actually asks, he's like, is that a boy or a girl? And then he, based on the answer, says he, she. It's kind of cute. But anyways.
Peppa Pig, what are you doing?
Maybe.
Ruining the world, Peppa Pig. One thing at a time. Let's go to I don't like mosquitoes with a dispatch.
At the risk of sounding completely self-absorbed, I'd like to preface this by stating that the driver is okay.
Mm-hmm.
I was just stuck on 95 for 3 hours because a semi flipped over.
That sucks.
And I had to pee the entire time. Although the cop did tell me he wouldn't give me a public urination citation if I needed to use the bushes. It was absolutely miserable. But at least I got caught up on Wednesday's show. So thanks for keeping me company. Have a great one.
Thank you. Appreciate it. I love your dispatch name. That should be bigger in the News Junkie community.
I don't like mosquitoes.
He doesn't like them.
I don't like those mosquitoes.
Never did. The mosquitoes and John McCain are on his no-go list.
What about Japan?
Ooh, he is sometimes a fan.
Japan!
Sometimes not a fan, but he likes to say them the name of the country like this.
Japan!
That's how he says it. Here's DeFro with a dispatch.
Hey, what's going on? This is Ro, the ignored texter. Usually Def I got Ro. A lot to say in my text, but I don't really got much to say right okay. now while I dispatch. Just wanted to say what's up to Sean, Sabrina, and C-Lane.
What's up, man? Right. Def Ro, I think, is what his name is. And I said DeFro, which is not nearly as cool. Thank you, Def Ro. Appreciate the dispatch. One more for now. Let's go over to Brandon.
Hey, guys. Talking about the Lime bikes. I work for kind of subcontracted by the city of Orlando, and I have the right to drive my Ranger around, let's say, Blue Jacket Park and Barwon right. and stuff like that.
Okay.
And I change the trash cans, and those bikes are such a pain in the butt because I have to get out of my truck and move them out of my way, out of people's way, and I move about 10 to 15 of them every day.
There's a lot of them.
God, it just drives me nuts. I mean, I get in and out of my truck, you know, constantly, but still, it's a pain in the butt. All right, guys. Love you.
Thank you, bye. Brandon. Yeah, a lot of people are mad about those Lime bikes and the other e-bikes and share bike programs in Central Florida. You know what I've been just kind of enthralled by? I keep seeing more and more of this UCF star, Taco Fall, the guy who's 7'6". He's getting more attention as March Madness kicks up and stuff. And there's been some really interesting pieces out there. You guys should read it about what it's like to be him at 7'6". 7'6" is crazy. I mean, that is another level of enormous for a human being. One of the tallest people in the world, I'm sure.
What do you see, Lane?
6'4".
6'4". So,
and he's big.
Wow.
7'6".
What do you even fit in?
Here's like some of the things about this that you wouldn't even have thought about, Sabrina. I read and I go, oh, that's so weird. Number one, he always gets the how tall are you, no matter where he goes. Everybody's gawking, and that's probably annoying after a while. He can barely fit into most cars. He has to line up mattresses like two long ways instead of going like wide like anybody else would. He has to go one and then another one because he's so tall, his feet hang off.
Not even a California king, huh?
I don't think so. Wow. This guy's just massive. And he said, I don't want to be seen as an attraction. Obviously, I'm tall. You don't see a lot of 7'6" guys walking around, but there's more to me than my height. And it's so interesting.
My eyes are up here.
Just to see what these guys go through. I remember not too long ago, I was somewhere, and there was a guy who showed up who was maybe 7 foot, or maybe 7'1", or something. He's right around there. Just tall enough so you were like, wow, that guy's enormous. And watching what his life was like for about an hour was so interesting. So many people walking up, hey, do you play basketball? You know, how tall are you? Wow, is this hard for you to do? But so many people, like you're a freak show act.
There was somebody I met years ago, or I might be stealing someone's story now that I've said that out loud, but it was a very tall man. And the first thing that anybody would say to him that was a stranger was something about his height.
Uh-huh.
So he handed me, or the person whose story I'm stealing, a business card.
I know that story too. I don't know where it's from, but
it happened to both of us. Remember that time years ago?
It didn't happen to me. I know that story though, because I was thinking about that this morning when I was thinking about how tall this guy was.
And it said like, to answer all the questions you're about to ask me. No, uh-huh. I don't play basketball. I'm 7-something. No, the shoes doesn't match my socks, doesn't match my groin. I mean, all this like funny
Why
stuff.
Why would you put that?
I'm making it up. I don't have the card anymore, but I looked at it as I was about to ask him how tall he was. Uh-huh. And just was like, okay, well, that's all I have for you today, sir. Enjoy the rest of your life.
What's your favorite color? You got to swerve it somewhere because this guy.
Who's your seamstress?
He gets nailed with it. And that's one. Clothing is a whole different world for that individual. You don't just find jeans that are that size.
Can you imagine how difficult sex must be?
Absolutely.
For that individual, unless, I mean, they're just lying there and has to be up to their partner. But as far as like certain positions would not be possible.
Yeah, it's a whole, everything is different. It takes a different strategy in life to be that tall. And there are a lot of parts of it which are probably super annoying. Just dealing with everybody looking at you like that.
Yeah, like just dealing with the random stupid questions all the time. I had a friend that was in high school even was that tall. Like, would
7'6"?
Not 7'6", no. But he was in like the early 7s, I think.
That's still massive.
Especially for a high schooler. And you would see the people changing classes and like the group of kids walking, and then he towered over them. he actually coincidentally enough, or I think he was into basketball because I think he played basketball in high school, but he got a job with the Magic for a while and he worked at their front office. But you would see him there and go like, he's taller than at least one of the players.
Yeah,
I know that.
It's probably so frustrating for him. Let's do jury duty.
Court is now in session, so put your phone down and pay attention before we call the bailiff over to whip your ass. You're now on jury duty with the News Junkie.
Running behind, so we'll roll quickly. If you've been in an accident, make the smart decision. Call Moses DeWitt, 1-800-DeWitt-LAW. 1-800-DeWitt-LAW. If you have been in an accident, whether it was in a car or a motorcycle, you were a passenger and you've been injured, you need to act quickly and make sure you have the attorney who's going to fight for you, who's going to be across the desk from you, who's going to be with you throughout this whole process. And that's Moses DeWitt of the DeWitt Law Firm, 1-800-DeWitt-LAW. There are a lot of reasons to stab somebody. I'm not a stabber myself. I've stabbed zero people in my time.
Ladies.
Here on Earth. Zero stabbings. This particular person has an excuse. His name is Pankaj Basin.
Pancake Basin, got
and
it.
And Pancake Basin was arrested in the death of a man named Brad Jackson, 65-year-old man, who was stabbed not one, not two, not three times, but 53 times. There was a reason why he stabbed this guy. It's just a weird one.
Yeah, if you guys remember back in July, a man was found running out of a building on this section of the 1200 block of King Street in Alexandria. That's when he later jumped into a Mercedes-Benz. We now know that man was Pankaj Basin, and he stood trial for the second day today as a defendant for the murder of 65-year-old Brad Jackson.
He's got an excuse.
Jackson owned a window replacement building right here in Alexandria. On July 13th, police were called to Jackson's business for a suspicious death. Once on scene, officers found Basin locked inside a Mercedes-Benz with no pants on, covered in blood.
Oh, I know this looks bad. No pants on, covered in blood, stabbed a guy 53 times.
53?
Sometimes there are reasons.
Jackson was found inside the building with 53 stab wounds, among other injuries. Now, today in court, the defense pleaded to strike this murder trial from the court, stating a more appropriate charge of voluntary manslaughter should be applied. Now, the defense claimed Basin suffered from mental health issues and that he thought Jackson was a werewolf at the time.
He thought he was a werewolf.
The judge overruled that motion to strike down the case. And earlier today, we managed to catch up with a friend of Jackson who knew him for over two decades to get his reaction to the incident.
Yeah, they said he thought this guy was a werewolf. That's why he was attacking him.
Okay.
Stabbed him 53 times.
And you know that it, in order to kill a werewolf, it has to be over 50.
You don't. What's the werewolf thing? Is it with a stake to the heart, or
it's a vampire?
It's a vampire.
Werewolves, you just throw a doggy treat in the other direction.
Is a werewolf silver bullet?
Yes.
Is that the werewolf thing?
Let's see.
Oh, the texting service is going to
allow us. Kill werewolf.
Who's got it?
Bum ba da dum. Human state. If they're in a human state, you can kill it, and it will not live on. Effective way: use a stick to using older weapons. This is insane. Oh, silver bullets.
Yes, got it. That's what you needed, not 53 stabs.
Instructables.com, three easy steps on how to kill a werewolf.
Why not? You got to have that. Back in a moment. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
The radio station that other radio stations listen to.
You're welcome.
Real Radio 104.1.
From the...
biggest stories of the day in all their glory and insanity.
You're listening to the News Junkie.
Yeah, we do what we do to get by. And then we
there's no need to make a big deal out of this. I think we could just get right to it. Just move on. Because this article that's being shared like crazy today from UpRocks is wrong. It's just flat out wrong, and I'm here to correct the official record moving forward. It started a massive argument across the internet and across all things social media.
Facebook,
everybody is arguing. And they say, no need to argue, the meatball sub is the world's greatest sandwich. Immediately, I had to say, good, not the best. Sorry. Good, not the best. Not the best. For the record, we're all 100% in agreement on this. The French dip is the best sandwich
in the world. No.
Greatest, bar none. 100% agreement on the show.
No. You can't do that. Can't speak for us.
No meatball, no French dip?
French dip, definitely good. I've had it before, and I would say top five. Meatball as well.
World's greatest, though.
World's greatest is going to be a pub sub, chicken tenders.
Oh, man. There's a lot of people who are going to line up on your side of that war.
Come on.
There's websites
down.
Dedicated to, is there a deal on the pub sub chicken tender sandwich right now?
I mean, the pub sub chicken tender sandwich, it's fantastic.
It's good, yes. It's the best in the world.
I don't know. I think it's hard to quantify that. What is the best sandwich in the world?
I would say this. If you're about to die and you can only have one final sandwich, what would it be? And that sandwich, to you at least, is the best sandwich in the world. What is that sandwich to you, Celia?
I don't know. I would spend
French dip. You're going French dip?
I would spend so much time deciding that I would just cheat death.
They would just kill you eventually.
Probably.
Celia, just decide already. What's the sandwich? So many options.
You want to hear my secret sandwich?
What's the secret one?
Which is not,
like, you're
not
embarrassed?
No. Like, it's one that I have to ask for customization.
Oh, okay. All right.
If it's available. But it's, and you're gonna talk smack. I know you are.
All right.
But it's so good.
I'll withhold judgment because who knows? Sometimes you try this stuff, and I've told stories before where I used to eat at Subway, the seafood sub.
Oh, that medley.
And put Doritos on it. I was weird. So I'm going to withhold judgment.
Putting Doritos on it is not weird, but the seafood medley was a little weird.
It was bizarre at the time. What is the one that you go for?
You got to make sure the place is good at what they do when it comes to pan-fried eggplant or lightly fried eggplant. And you put pepper jack cheese, lettuce, tomato, banana peppers, mayo, potato chips, pressed on a Cuban roll.
I like the things you have put on top of it.
It is delicious.
But the eggplant is not going to do it for me.
It's not your eggplant that you're finding at the Italian restaurants that you in an eggplant parmesan. No, it has to be like a crispy fried eggplant.
The second option for me would be a perfectly done, and you have to go to just the right spot. I know a spot in West Palm Beach that has the best one. Perfectly done and executed Cuban sandwich.
Mm.
Damn good.
And you know, I used to love the 7-Eleven Cuban. Remember back in the day when they
it's
had
a weird one.
Why?
The Cuban at 7-Eleven of all places?
Yeah, because they used to have, they got rid of this because they needed to make room for now everything they make at 7-Eleven is in that super convection oven or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
But they used to have a sandwich press there. And when you're coming home from the bar at 2:30, go grab the thing from the refrigerated section, the Cuban sandwich,
uh-huh.
And say, I would like this press. And they would put it down there. I mean, until they were like
bubbling.
Yeah, it was fantastic, fantastic drunk food. But let's see. French dip is one of my favorite sandwiches because and only because the side of au jus that you get to dip it in.
Uh-huh, that's the party. And you put your fries in that, too?
I think much more sandwiches would be on the top of my list if they all came with au jus.
You could put whatever your favorite sandwich is with the au jus on the side just to throw a wrinkle
but
at things.
Public secret, though. If you're a chicken tender sub fan, it means you probably are a fan of the po' boy.
Yeah.
And when, especially because right now we're during Lent, the Lent time right now.
Yeah.
So I think Wednesdays and Fridays during Lent, and then some other times, you just got to check whichever one you got, they have fried catfish at the deli.
It is good.
And you can ask them to put that on your sub.
You will never, ever get unanimity. You will never get everybody to agree. I'm going to say it that way. You'll never get everybody to agree on something like this because everybody likes their own thing.
Well, yeah, but there are people that like what we like, and then there are monsters.
People out there that are just terrible. You have terrible taste. You're terrible people. And whatever sandwich you think is the best is not the best. Everybody is arguing over that, and I do love me a meatball sub, but not the best. Not the best in the world. The French dip rules supreme. Things that don't rule supreme currently in the world of aviation would be Boeing 737 MAX series planes. And now we learn yet another tidbit about this story that we've been covering for the last couple of weeks here. As the pilots of the doomed Boeing jets in Ethiopia and Indonesia fought to control their planes, they lacked two notable safety features in their cockpits. So we learned yesterday that they were struggling to find the manual for the flight to try to fix things as these planes were crashing down to Earth, including the Ethiopian Airlines flight on March 10th and then that Lion Air flight that was last year that crashed. But there was two other things that they didn't have. One reason Boeing charged extra for them. There were two safety features that cost more money that they didn't have on these planes that would have helped them out.
Would it have? Because isn't it a feature that was on the plane that was to blame for this?
That's an additional thing that's causing them problems. But for Boeing and other aircraft manufacturers, the New York Times says, the practice of charging to upgrade a standard plane can be lucrative. Top airlines around the world must pay handsomely to have the jets they order fitted with customized add-ons. Some of that is like seating, extra bathrooms, fancy lights, navigation, but some stuff goes a bit further. And when they don't buy them, it can cause some real additional issues. Both of these safety features could have helped the pilots detect an erroneous reading. One of the optional upgrades, the angle of attack indicator, displays the readings of the two sensors. The other was a disagree light. It's activated if sensors are at odds with one another. They didn't have that upgrade. And they had some problems because of it. Let's go to some dispatches. Here's Insecure Walrus with a dispatch.
I heard on the next episode Sabrina say that Olivia Jade was upset about all of the stuff that her parents have done and how it's ruined everything. Let me tell you, I'm not for sure that her level of frustration or being upset is in any way comparable to that of my wife, who is a big fan of the Hallmark show When Calls the Heart, which stars Lori Loughlin, and she was also an executive producer or producer on it. They had six new episodes that they were supposed to air. I mean, they've already shot them and everything, and the Hallmark Channel just pulled the plug and said, we're not going to air them.
Oh, your poor wife.
They're going to have to figure out what they're going to do on the show. They're going to have to like write her off somehow and film all new episodes, so it's completely messed up the rest of the season. Some people, like me, not really affected like this, but other people, they are strongly affected.
This story affects a lot of people because I think some people are being naive, but people like fairness. I'm big on fairness. I love that stuff. I love the idea that the best, the most talented will rise to the top, and those people will be rewarded for their success and for working hard and for being skilled at stuff. I don't like the idea that somebody come in and buy their way through things. But if you're surprised by this whole college admissions scandal, I think your mind would be blown if you really knew how the world operates.
Yeah, this is how things have been, you know, happening. I mean, it's a movie trope that, you know, like some rich parents go, I can't get my kid into college.
Uh-huh.
But it seems like you guys need a new gymnasium.
Right. Let me just pad your wallet. Here you go. And I'll get my kid in there. At schools, that's been going on forever. In athletics, that's been going on forever. In every facet of life. And that stuff should be squashed whenever possible. They should make everything as fair as is humanly possible, so that the best at something are the highest rewarded. That is a really laudable goal in life. But I want one thing that always comes to mind that's the greatest representation of this for me, and I don't remember all the details, but a story that stuck with me was that couple that paid during the last Olympics to be on one of the Olympic teams. It was their dream to be on an Olympic team, and there is a country out there that for like $100,000 will let you be on their Olympic team.
Doesn't the Olympics have to approve that? You have to.
It happened.
Complete like an IOC trial, right?
They were able to qualify themselves, get to a certain point where they were eligible, and then pay their way in via this country. They walked in the opening ceremonies. They participated. The woman, I remember, got her ass kicked so bad in downhill skiing or whatever she was competing in. It was embarrassing, but they didn't care. You know, they just wanted to participate in the Olympics. And there's always people like that that can weasel their way into these situations with money, with power, or with anything else that they utilize to get themselves a bit further ahead. And that's something, again, that we should shut down and not allow. And that's why so many people see these admission stories and get frustrated. They also see admission stories where, in some cases, Asians are discriminated against and other people are discriminated against. And most people, I think, agree that what this should be is the kids who are working the hardest, are the most talented, show the most potential, should be the ones who end up in these privileged positions and going to these schools that are so difficult to get into. That's why it sticks with a lot of people. That's why they're still mad about this story. Back in just a moment with something that was passed politically that should have been done a very, very long time ago. And if there's an R by your name or a D by your name or anything in between, I think everybody can agree on this one, but we'll see how it shapes up next. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
You're listening to Real Radio 104.1. Online at realradio.fm. On your phone with the free iHeartRadio app. And on hundreds of devices like Alexa, Google Home, Xbox, and Sonos. We are an iHeartRadio station.
Free money. It's like the easiest sales pitch.
If you're not confused, you are not paying attention. This is the News Junkie.
More of your dispatches in a moment. This is one of those things that I think everybody could get on board with, or at least I hope so. If you're against this bill that is starting to get passed in state houses across the country, then I don't know that you're going to be useful to anybody. But the Texas House just passed this bill this week to legalize lemonade stands, ladies and gentlemen.
All right.
Yay.
Lemonade stands. That's right. Run by children. As long as they're run by children. This bill legalizes temporary lemonade stands and other stands selling non-alcoholic beverages operated by minors on both private property or at public parks.
So, 17 and under?
Yes.
Whoa, you can
go to be a minor.
You can go to a public park and do this?
You could do this at a park if you want. They said today is Lemonade Freedom Day. It's a great day for our Texas entrepreneurs. This is always the dumbest thing ever when some absolute monster in a neighborhood would call the police on a little kid and go, he doesn't have any kind of permit to sell the lemonade.
Do you have a permit, six-year-old? Do you?
A little kid would start crying and then go, you have to shut it down or we're going to have to arrest you and send you to jail. And you just go, wait, what? What kind of stupidity is happening here? It's been passed in Texas. It was also recently passed in Colorado, and a couple other states are getting ready to do this to allow young kids to embrace the entrepreneurship of opening up a lemonade stand. They got to figure out the business there. What do your lemons cost? What do the cups cost? The sugar and the ice? And what is your time worth? And they figure out what things cost, how much you can make, important lessons for kids in their lives.
Did I ever tell you what my young entrepreneurship business was going to be?
Did you have a lemonade stand?
It wasn't a lemonade stand. I had like a book that was like lemonade stand and 50 other small businesses you could start as a kid or something like that.
You went for another one of the options.
I was starting it. I had the idea. I read about it.
You never opened the stand?
And it wasn't a stand. I was going to pass out flyers in my neighborhood and offer to spray paint their addresses on the curb in front of their house.
Okay, all right. This is something
people don't do that much anymore. That was a thing in my neighborhood.
Yeah, I don't think they. I think it depends on what kind of neighborhood you live in or how they put the address out there, whether it's on the mailbox or whatever. Whether they do that, I like that they had different ideas. I think that stuff is good for little kids.
Yeah,
I mentioned before, I love the idea of a young kid sitting down, and I've watched many times with Dylan as he was growing up, because it's been around for so long now, watching Shark Tank and shows where they can see how money works, how business works, how a capitalistic society works, how companies work. These are good lessons for young kids, and whether they learn it through television or through a lemonade stand, it's good for them to learn. And political news that not everybody will enjoy, like the lemonade stand story. The unending, far too long marathon to the White House continues.
Ooh, we have another 12 candidates?
We have a brand new poll of all the billions of candidates. And happy to say, polling at 5%, someone else has been doing very good.
Is it the gay guy?
In the polls. No, just somebody else. Name, someone else. Polling a little better and now starting to register Andrew Yang, though he has some problems of his own with the Yang gang. We'll get to that in a second. Polling at 1%, Julian Castro, who hasn't gotten a lot of attention just yet. Cory Booker's at 3%. Pete Buttigieg is up to 3%.
I think that's the gay guy. And then Cory Booker is making headlines yesterday because he finally revealed him and Rosario Dawson are porking.
It's like the worst kept secret in D.C. for the last year or so. that those two were in a relationship. Elizabeth Warren's at 8%. Beto O'Rourke, after announcing his campaign, has seen a boost up to 11%. Kamala Harris is just one ahead of him at 12. And then you have a dead-on tie, Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders, 26% apiece. They are leading the pack right now. And some interesting stuff happening with Joe Biden as he gets ready to announce his campaign. He's considering two things. Number one, the moment he announces he's running, he's going to possibly announce his vice presidential candidate. That's new. People don't do that. They usually wait until way further down.
Can it be Obama?
Yeah, it could be, I think.
No.
He can't run for president after winning twice. He can run for vice president, though, can he? It doesn't mean
can he be in the line of succession?
I don't know.
But it would be a different...
That's a very interesting question. I don't know.
Because if so, Michelle Obama runs with Barack as the vice president, and then day one... She resigns.
Well, they've already asked her a million times.
First lady.
Yeah. No. If she ran herself to be president, which a lot of people are trying to get her to do, but she doesn't seem to have any interest just yet.
She has great arms.
They say that the 26-26 tie could be swayed by Biden's plan. He may announce his VP as soon as he announces he's running. And the other thing is, and this is a wrench in the machine, they said people are a little bit worried about Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders being a little bit older. Joe Biden's in his mid-70s or something. And they're worried about him being older. They said Joe Biden may, when he announces, say, I'm only going to run for one term, and that's it. One term guaranteed, and then I'm going to step down George Washington style and hand it off to the next one. And so that may be what Biden does. What else is going on here? Oh, the Andrew Yang problems. They say the right fringe is obsessed with Andrew Yang. They ran some numbers and said that Gab, 4chan, and 8chan are talking about Andrew Yang. Most of that is trolling. These people don't understand how these websites work. Most of that is trolling on those sites.
Right, but they have a decent, I don't know, when they get in their troll mode, they've made things happen.
Oh, they definitely do. But they're trolling the people who are big-time Trump supporters on 4chan with the Andrew Yang stuff. And Andrew Yang, if you're on the right, Andrew Yang's policies are not going to line up with you. You might find some of the stuff interesting, but a lot of it, not so much.
What do you mean, man? What about our penises?
He's all about that. We talked yesterday about how Andrew Yang wants a crackdown on the circumcisions in this country.
That's getting a lot more popular.
It is. I don't know what the national polling numbers are on it, but some of this other stuff we'll get into in a second. He also wants a crackdown on fake news and misinformation. Andrew Yang says the federal government should punish media companies for the spread of misinformation. Penalties for persistent and destructive misstatements that undermine public discourse. So he continues to pop up in the headlines and get more attention. Senators Gillibrand and Gardner, and Gillibrand is running for president. She's a sitting senator, but also running. They announced a bipartisan bill to combat the opioid crisis by limiting prescriptions to 7 days. And as much as I agree with the opioid crisis being a major problem that needs to be dealt with immediately, this is a terrible idea. You also have people who are in real pain who need prescriptions that last longer than 7 days after having some sort of major surgery. And this could really create a logjam there. You need to find something that fixes the problem with opioid addiction in the United States of America. But 7-day limit on prescriptions is going to cause too many issues. More and more talk about getting rid of the Electoral College. And I'm not talking about, because this gets complicated. Let me just run through this very quickly. I do not support in any way, it's unconstitutional, and don't support getting rid of the Electoral College in the sense of the nationwide Electoral College. Because that just takes people who are sour about losing elections, who win California and New York by wide margins, and it allows them to find a back door into the White House. What I do support, and what I think more politicians should support, and it polls very, very well, is getting rid of this winner-take-all crap. I don't like that. I don't support it. I think if it went to the Supreme Court, and I know it has for some minor issues, but it would be an interesting debate to see play out. When the people of the state vote, the vote should be divvied up based on how everybody in the state votes. The way it works now is if Republicans win the state of Florida, they get all the electoral votes of the state of Florida. Mm-hmm. That doesn't seem fair and righteous to me. What seems fair is what percentage do they win the state by? That's the percentage of the electoral votes of that state that they get.
Makes sense. Like one vote equals this many thousands of the residents.
If they got 65% of the votes in the state, they get 65% of the electoral votes. And that way, people's votes are counted in a much more direct way.
Well, also, the amount of electoral votes for some of the states need to be revisited, right?
There's people who have asked for that for a long time, and it's because of how powerful the big five states are, mostly.
Well, with what you're describing, wouldn't that be effectively ending the Electoral College?
Not really, no.
Because the different states are weighted differently?
It's not going completely to popular vote. It's going to popular vote by state as opposed to popular vote. What Elizabeth Warren wants is popular vote by the country.
Mm-hmm.
California and New York have populations that are massive, and Democrats win that by such a wide margin, that would throw off. The entire country would then be at the whim of what's happening in two states. Or if you throw in Florida and Texas and Illinois, you know, five states that you'd be dealing with there. As opposed to this, this idea takes everybody's vote in the state, divvies up the electoral votes where the people put their votes, and makes things fair. That I'm all about. I think most people, when you ask that question directly, seem to be. And you can get all kinds of different answers when you just say abolishing the Electoral College. It goes all over the place. Final thing in the ever too long road for the White House, 2019 into 2020 edition, this is never going to end for any of us, is here in the state of Florida, Andrew Gillum has announced a plan to register and turn out 1 million new and low propensity Florida voters. That means these folks weren't headed to the polls to begin with. He says it's in an effort to crush President Donald Trump's reelection chances in the nation's largest swing state. Florida continues to be important, and he's trying to get as many people as possible. Here's the real sad thing, and poll this too, because I bet people like it.
Oh, I'm a poll that.
Everybody out there should be automatically registered to vote when they turn 18 years old. 18 years old, you're automatically registered to vote. And you can go from there. You can select a party and figure out what primaries you're going in. But that way, people just get on board immediately. The more people that vote, I think, the better. And if you don't want everybody to vote, I kind of question what's going on in your world. You might be able to say, hey, there's so much ignorance. And there is. A lot of people are really, really ill-informed about politics. And they then go on to vote for somebody that they don't fully understand. But you should want everybody to get out there and get engaged and vote. That's important stuff. When we come back, the final dispatches, stories that didn't make the cut. And today I learned to wrap everything up for a Thursday. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
A safe haven of sorts for all of the 95%ers. This is the News Junkie.
Dispatches, stories that didn't make the cut, and today I'm going to wrap everything up for a lovely Thursday. In just a moment, there's a big Apple announcement coming up on Monday. I don't think it's going to be anything too exciting. I think it's going to be an Apple News subscription thing, which might be kind of interesting.
I think they're getting into sports or something, right?
I haven't heard about that. I've heard there's going to be like a TV thing, perhaps, and there's going to be a news subscription thing. So you can subscribe to all the news websites instead of, in particular, the New York Times, the Washington Post, the Wall Street Journal. I don't know if that's going to be the biggest thing. It might be interesting. I like their news app a little bit. I use that every once in a while. And they're also announcing AirPods, too. So that means even more stupid-looking people with those headphones poking out of their ears like little future aliens.
Do we really need a sequel to AirPods?
I didn't think so, but they're better. They're now, you can talk to Siri through them, and it's going to be a real big deal. Let's go to those final dispatches. Here's Higgy with the first ever dispatch.
So I don't want to know anybody that thinks that lemonade stands should be illegal. Come on.
Yeah.
You got to support the kids.
I'm with you.
Wiggle, sell your pop and your lemonade.
I'm with you. You don't want people who are against lemonade stands. Those are just bizarre people. Let's continue with Sinister with a dispatch.
Hey, yo. Just wanted to share my story about really tall dudes. I'm about 4'8" tall,
all right.
And I used to work at a snowboard shop. And one day, a NBA player came by and said he wanted to learn how to snowboard. He was huge. I don't know exactly how tall in feet and inches, but I know that we had like a specially made snowboard prepared for him. It was super big and super long. And he also had to find size 19 snowboard boots.
Damn.
Before we could get him up
size
on that.
What size shoe are you, C-Len?
15.
15. Is it? It's a pain in the ass to even get 15, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. You got to go to outlets or order online or big and tall stores.
Ugh. Yeah, that's tough. I mean, these are all part of the issues that you deal with. We were talking about the taco guy from UCF who's 7'6" and what life is like being that tall. And she's talking about somebody else.
So anyway, he did request that I give him some lessons. I was about half his size. And I remember the first time he went down the hill, all I could think of was timber every time he fell. And it literally sounded like a tree hitting the mountain on the snow day.
Giant human being.
Anyway, it was a lot of fun. Had a really nice car. We had a great day.
All
right. Thanks, y'all.
There you go. Thank you. Let's just fire through a few more. Here's Husky.
The best sandwich in town is at Liam Fitzpatrick's in Lake Mary. It's called the Wicked Big. It's a half-pound pastrami.
Wicked Big.
It's got Swiss cheese. They put coleslaw on it. And then they top it off with freaking French fries.
What?
You know what they do with the sourdough? Do you know what they do with the sourdough?
Oh. What?
They Texas toast the freaking sourdough. Oh, it's so good!
That's a lot.
Oh, my God. I just got aroused.
That's a lot, but it sounds pretty damn good.
It's a half a pound of pastrami, Swiss, horsey sauce, fries, coleslaw.
Oh, keep going.
Sourdough.
Let's just go ahead. Oh, you know what? We got to get, let's do the stories that didn't make the cut very quickly. Over
hurry,
to
hurry.
Them. Talked yesterday. They finally got a drug for postpartum depression, which is great. You know, if somebody's dealing with this, it's a terrible thing for a lot of women. They just call it the baby blues or go get over it. It's major. Here's the problem. It's $34,000.
Oh, my God.
The drug's a little bit expensive.
That's
for
the cost of a child.
$34,000. They found out which veggies were the most dangerous. Numero uno on the list, strawberries, spinach, kale, rounding out the top three. Let's do Today I Learned.
The following information may make you feel smarter, but will not actually increase your IQ. So don't get cocky. Now it's time for what we call Today I Learned.
It is Today I Learned for a Thursday, March 21st, 2019. 7 stories from around the web and around the world. Let's jump into the action. Today I Learned this movie.
Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat is correct. It was originally meant to be a game about Jean-Claude Van Damme,
movie
of all things. It was a game first, then developed into the movie series or the movie. Did they ever do another one or just one? I think they just did one.
Yeah.
It wasn't so great. They originally had the idea just to do a fighting game, and you got to, as the user, play Jean-Claude Van Damme. Today I learned calories and calories are not the same. Mm-hmm. Capital C means 1,000 calories. If it's a lowercase c, well, it's just a regular churn and burn calorie.
That's deceptive.
Today I learned from this show.
South Park.
South Park is correct. Tree Fitty. That is 20 years old.
Whoa.
That joke is now 20 years old. The Succubus was the third episode of the third season of South Park. The 34th episode overall premiered April 21st, 1999.
The older or South Park episodes, are they weird like the older Simpsons and Family Guy?
It's a little bit. The voices are really strange. It's just not quite as good.
Well, the one woman that did most of the female characters,
she
committed suicide.
Yeah.
So they had to find a bunch of people that sound kind of like her.
Yeah, they do a lot of them themselves, too. They just kind of pitch shift and stuff. So they learned a dog's nose print is unique. It's just like human fingerprints. They can be used to identify the dog, and no two are exactly alike. In fact, the Canadian Kennel Club has been accepting dog nose prints as proof of identity since 1938. Oh. So there you go. Today I learned this lady.
Lady Gaga.
That's the right lady.
Loud Gaga.
Today I learned Lady Gaga. Oh, you don't like Lady Gaga nice and loud like the rest of us? I enjoy it. Lady Gaga's got plenty of cash, right? She chooses to drive a Ford truck from the 90s. Now, there's a twist on this. She has a Ford Lightning from the 90s. It's her favorite car. She's got about $300 million, so whatever she wants would have been hers. But this is the one she goes for. The twist is Ford Lightnings still aren't that cheap if they're from the 90s. About $15,000 to $20,000. The best one that they found in this report was about $40,000. Pretty cool truck, though. Today I learned regular batteries, just the regular old AA batteries or any alkaline batteries, you can recharge them. Don't do it, though. You have to use special rechargers. You can only do it a handful of times, very slowly. Sometimes they blow up. It's a little bit dangerous. You don't definitely ever want to try this. But just know, if you ever want to be super duper cheap about things, you totally can recharge regular batteries. And finally, today I learned this guy right here. This guy.
Elton John.
Elton John is correct. The first album ever to debut number one on the U.S. Billboard 200 chart was released by Mr. Elton John, Sir Elton John now, in 1975. The second album to ever reach number one on the Billboard 200 chart was released by Elton John in 1975. Both in 1 year, breaking records. Thank you so much for listening. We do appreciate it. We're back tomorrow after the Monsters of the Morning. Stay put. The Jim Colbert Show is coming up next, followed by Corporate Time with Tom and Dan, right here on Real Radio. Still standing, better than-